mind. I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What service is it that you are a captain in? What makes you the captain, Robbie Knievel?
I'm in love. I'm in love with my mattress.
So habitual now that it almost seems like just habit.
I tell you what, man, ain't no dang old lady about her, man. They're getting old liquor to that man. I'm coming on strong. They'll paw me like a dang old animal, man. I'll tell them no means no.
You're an idiot.
Are you with me? Yay or nay?
Which one means yes?
Yay.
And if you guys aren't too busy, could you please just go to hell?
Today we're interviewing WOHN announcer Gene Baxter, who in a surprise press conference Friday afternoon announced his plans to leave the radio station.
And now?
Well, what did the management have to say when you told them you wanted to leave?
Stay for just a while.
Anything else?
Our feature presentation.
Come on. Would you say that's your final choice in eyewear? Or are you still up? Or a decision?
I lost my glasses. So I had to go to the Walgreens and buy the crappy over-the-counter magnifying ones, and they're terrible. I know, they're awful, but...
They are old people glasses. You're wearing 99-year-old glasses.
I know. 99 cent glasses.
Aviator glasses?
Kind of.
Sort of?
Yeah. I had to find something that I could wear so I could see. And, yeah, I got to find my glasses. It's driving me crazy.
So you would say that's not your final choice?
No, I would absolutely... Yes, it is not my final choice.
Excellent. That's good news. Lisa, how's your vagina?
Oh, it's happy. It's fulfilled.
Really?
It got applause. It's just...
Wow.
It could be in better shape.
Like your vagina hasn't gotten applause your whole life.
Well, not from hundreds of people all at the same time.
It's not every day that you get that experience. That's true.
How much can a girl do?
Saw some emails from K-Rock listeners who went to see your vagina monologues in Hermosa over the weekend. They said they had a great time.
I think everyone did.
Really?
It was a really fun show.
How did Kat do? Was she good?
She's great.
Yeah?
Really? Yeah, she was really awesome.
How's her vagina?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, we had lots of listeners who came, and it was awesome.
Watch your language there, young lady.
You're not on stage anymore. What's wrong with you?
But we also had I have to assume there are K-Rock listeners who were completely drunk in the back.
Oh.
And at one point, a bottle was rolling down the aisle.
No question about that. That's our people.
And that was at the beginning of the show.
Oh, good.
So that was good.
So we're
I was proud.
We're at Kevin beginning. And me night at the Ducks at the Honda Center on Friday night, and Window Liquor Nick shows up. God bless Nick. Poor Kevin, by the way, I had to sit next to him for the entire game.
I wanted to.
Here's my impression of Nick. Guys, I want to go see Lisa in the vagina monologues. Well, Nick, we think you should go. Really? Because I really think I want to go. And then Kevin agreed to pay for him to go. If you go, I'll pay for it.
Really?
Because he really wanted Nick to
I
be
wanted
there.
Him to go to see the vagina monologues. He would explode if he saw that.
He's never even heard most of those words, Lisa.
No.
You know?
But he kept saying that. He was obsessed.
I really want to go. For like a half an hour, he talked about you and your vagina.
Well.
You guys think I could go? I think I want to go. So then we start looking into, you know, how we can make that happen. And then we find out that you're sold out by Friday night. We were told you were completely sold out.
Well, he could have come on Sunday.
He couldn't have gone anyway.
No, we thought you were sold out the whole time.
No, not completely on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
I think he wanted you all to drive him there.
Yeah, well, I know. But listen, I can only do so much for the guy.
He was unbelievable on Friday. He sat down at the table with us. We were all eating in the Ducks pre-party before the game. And he said, guys, I have an announcement to make.
He always has an announcement. Have you ever made an announcement? I mean,
no, I really haven't.
You just bring stuff up in conversation with your friends, right? Guys, can I have your attention? I have an announcement to make. And by the way, for those who have never heard Nick, it's pretty close to what he sounds like, right?
It is.
That's exactly
not an exaggeration,
what he sounds like.
Right? He's like, I don't think I want to be a sign holder anymore.
Oh, really?
And that just rocked our world.
Yeah,
because
everybody stopped what they were doing, and it was complete silence.
Yeah, they almost canceled the game.
Yeah.
Did you hear the Ducks were just so upset?
Very upset.
A lot of people didn't even feel like seeing hockey at that time. You know, they just wanted to go home after they heard that announcement. Because, you know, as Kevin pointed out, I mean, that's what he was born to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the world without Nick as a sign holder is not a world any of us really want to envision.
And the thing that drew us to him, if you guys will remember, the very first time we talked to him, he was a sign holder, and he was so excited about it.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the thing that drew us to him, because it was like, most people are unhappy with their jobs no matter what they do. This guy's got a crappy job and he's happy.
And he loved it. Yeah.
Exactly. Not anymore.
Now he's thinking about, and what is it he said? We asked him what he wanted to get into. Do you remember what?
Photography or?
He told Kevin and I that he's going to write a novel about writing a screenplay.
That's right. I think that's called adaptation, isn't it?
No, but he hasn't done a screenplay, right? So he's going to write a novel. I mean, he's been writing a screenplay, but he's not anywhere near finished with it yet.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And he thinks that would make a good novel.
All right.
So a novel about himself writing a screenplay.
All right.
That he is unable to finish.
That he hasn't finished.
Yeah, okay, that's
so
interesting.
I said, why don't you do the novel, and then you can adapt it and do the screenplay from the novel.
There you go.
That's a way around doing the actual screenplay.
How'd that go over?
Poorly.
Well.
Yeah, and then he was hitting on Alex the whole night, and I kept trying to arrange it so that he could sit next to Alex, our assistant
Kevin.
Producer. Well, I'm thinking about Nick here.
Sure.
And Alex.
And not at all about Alex.
And he was just
Alex
going,
could give a little back, by the way.
Oh,
it wouldn't be below her to give a little back once in a while. That's all I'm saying.
He was just going on and on about how he still lives with his parents and he needs a real job. And Alex was like, well, you know, it would help if you moved out. Well, would it help if I moved out from my parents? Yes. So he started talking about that. And then he started talking about getting a real job. And then, and this is where Nick comes in and where he's especially smooth. He'll say things to Alex like, I don't think you're long term, but I sure would like to have sex.
Well, that's a charming word.
So basically, he's telling her she's not the right girl for him. But
she's not good enough for him.
Right,
but he'd do her a favor.
But for tonight, she'd be okay.
Exactly. He showed up at Santa Anita on Saturday.
Yes, he did. Yeah. I saw him there.
And I'll tell you, Alex is pretty quickly replaced when Yasmeen shows up.
Oh, because
Yasmeen
really?
Was there. Oh man, he was all over her. And the thing about Nick is that he doesn't even try to hide looking at a chick's boobs when he's talking to her.
Oh, at all.
He stares directly at the boobies.
That's
and just
my boy.
Carries on a conversation.
That's my boy. Mike's wife was there, and he was talking to her boobs the whole time.
Well,
I know.
We were all talking to her boobs, let's be honest.
But I said to her later, tell me what you noticed about Nick, and she immediately said, staring at my boobs. I was like, most guys at least are embarrassed after 30 seconds of staring
right.
at the boobs. Enough
they
to
try to look up.
Just glance at the eyes once, just to convince them that you're not a perv.
Kevin, would you say also one of the most interesting things he told us, in a kind of a heartfelt moment, he said to Kevin and I that he spends 90% of his income at the strip club.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's just sad.
Not all at once.
He goes over and over and over again.
Seriously?
That's just sad.
90% of my young strippers.
We got to get him a girlfriend.
He lives with his parents, and he doesn't have a car. He doesn't have any gas bills or anything, he takes his paycheck, and he trying to rations it out through the month all on strip clubs. And
well, if he gets a better job and makes more money, it'll kill him then.
Yeah, no kidding. No yeah. kidding. So we got to get him a better job. We got to get them a better job. The strippers. I mean, come on. That's not something you want to.
That's just sad.
Yes, it is.
It's a memorable weekend to have that much Nick, though.
Lap dances are always better when the stripper's crying.
Is that the name of the song?
What's
the name of the song? The Bloodhound Gang? I can't remember.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Let's talk about Breakfast with Corn. That's the sound effect for
yes, it is.
For the date. Beam cannot go on until I say it properly.
Damn it.
It's Monday, the 5th of March, Kapow Pow.
Exactly.
And then he plays that, and then it's all good.
All right.
Breakfast with Corn. We have tickets, your last pair of tickets today. It's tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So you can watch it by going to krock.com if you want to. You can listen to it at KROQ. And we're going to give you one final shot at tickets on the air, and that is coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Sweet.
Also, did you go to the Shelarious auditions?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shelarious. Some cable channel. I think it's Oprah's cable channel,
it's
right?
Oxygen, yes.
Oxygen, yeah. They were doing an audition for female comedians. And Psycho Mike showed up with the microphone.
Oh, that had to be.
And he has
so
a way.
So fun for them.
He has a way with women, doesn't he?
Does. Oh, yeah.
That's a tough thing to look for, man. You might as well be looking for tall midgets at that point. Come on.
Oh, there's a few.
Plus, today we're going to talk about getting a massage, a guy getting a massage from a guy. Because we got an email from a listener who was saying that a friend of his said that he got that done and that...
he's a homo.
Yeah, that's kind of what he was saying. So we'll get into that today. Our assistant producer, Alex, we will try to find her...
Careful.
What can I say?
Careful.
Remember that movie Black Hawk Down?
Yes.
Yep. What if that middle word weren't hawk?
Okay.
Something that rhymed with hawk?
Yes.
All right. Black Hawk Down, got it.
Yes.
Something that...
That
it's
a woman
really
would want.
You know the liquid that you put in between tile when you're...
Yes.
Caulk.
Yeah. Caulking.
Caulk.
Yes. Okay. C-A-U-L-K. Yes. Mm-hmm. She has never had a black one. And so I think we're going to try and find one today. The former Canadian Prime Minister is saying that we could solve global warming with alien technology.
He's a homo.
That's good times right there. Omar, the man of 1,000 voices on today's show.
One of which, by the way, called me drunken... 10 o'clock Saturday night.
Really?
Omar, boy, was he on fire. He was at Mike's house. They got the UFC fight, right?
Oh, right.
And man, was he just faced.
Oh, nice.
Bean, what are you doing? It's Omar!
Is it time to party? Is it time to party?
Was that what he was saying?
Oh, Omar was awesome.
It was unbelievable. I think we may have those voicemail messages for you today.
Oh, fantastic.
As well. How was Liddell? How did you?
No, it was Randy Couture.
Oh, big, Couture,
big
sorry.
Big comeback, out of retirement, whooped on Tim Sylvia. Whooped him.
Nice.
Awesome.
And also today, the single gayest human being on the planet.
He's a homo.
This guy makes homosexuals look heterosexual. He's so homo. Samwell, we found a video by him online called What in the Butt. And I've never seen... I'm more gay having watched it.
You're already over the guy last week who was the gayest guy in the world.
Oh, no. This guy puts the last guy to shame.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So the other guy's Ted Nugent compared to this guy?
Yeah, the other guy was the guy who was the preacher guy who was trying to say that God hates...
Yeah.
This guy is way, way, way out and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And wants to go right now.
All right.
And bedazzled his pants. So that's the kind of guy you got there. So that's coming up this morning. It is 5:42. Ralph is up next with the Showbiz Beat.
So a freaking Kenyan won the LA Marathon, by the way. I'm sure nobody's surprised by that. But Ralph, I thought about you because they changed the route this year.
Tell me about it.
Did they
pass
your house?
They
bypassed?
Went to the east of my house. God bless them.
So so happy now.
It was awesome. They started up Universal Studios, I guess. They went down through Hollywood, the center of Hollywood near Highland there.
Right.
Then took it down to Olympic and then went downtown with it, which I always thought was the best way to go to use more of downtown because during the weekends, downtown
there's
is
no
empty.
One there.
It's a ghost town.
Yeah.
So everything west pretty much of La Brea was wide open. You could get to the west side of town, which
so
made
a free
life
man.
So much better. Yeah. So I wasn't surrounded by freaking people in odometers or pedometers, whatever the hell they carry.
That in previous years, that 6 hours that Ralph can't use his street makes him miserable for the whole rest of the year.
Oh, it's the only time that he wants to. That's the way it is. You know, when you can't eat,
well,
they tell you.
Every weekend I'd like to go someplace, usually. And the weekend that I can't, it's a little frustrating. But it was much better this year, so thank you to the gods of running or whoever.
And how did that Kenyan run so fast? Ralph, any theories on that?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
10 till 6, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
No idea.
How do hot chicks get from point A to point B?
I don't know.
Come on, people with the wild hogs.
I heard.
Kevin.
$38 million this weekend.
Wow.
Worth of business to wild hogs seeing John Travolta fight off a crow while he's riding a motorcycle.
How was it, Kevin?
I didn't see it, but it wasn't for a lack of trying. I did try. I just ended up being too late. It looks funny to me.
Great googly moogly. Zodiac was number 2 at the box office. Far behind Wild Hogs. Only made about $13 million. Made it number 2 this weekend. Ghost Rider still hanging in there in the top 3. Additional $11.5 million this weekend. Bridge to Terabithia still hanging in there strong. Wish someone would tell me what the hell it is.
It's a bridge, dude.
$8.5 million it made this weekend. The number 23 was in fifth place with $6.5 million. Close behind that was Norbit. Hey! With almost $6.5 million, then dropping down to about $5 million was Music and Lyrics. Number 8 was Black Snake Moan. In its debut, only pulled in $4 million. Good enough
Ouch.
To make it number 8, that's all. Reno 911 Miami, the movie, made $3.7 million. Breach was number 10 at the box office with $3.4 million.
A lot of movies, it seems like, in that list, underperforming over what they might have expected.
Yeah. Except for Wild Hogs!
Except for Wild Hogs, yeah.
That did just fine!
Yes, I want to thank Exhibitor Relations, by the way, for those numbers.
Astronaut Farmer's already gone. The season of the Astronaut Farmer is over. Is that what you're telling me?
There was no season, dude.
Elizabeth Hurley and her Indian businessman husband, Arun Nayar, couldn't wait till their actual wedding on Saturday to get married, so they tied the knot over the weekend. Just couldn't wait to be married. Couldn't wait to go to the wedding they had spent several $1 million on, so they had to have another wedding before the wedding.
Wait a minute, you said they couldn't wait till, so they got married over the weekend.
Yeah, but they're still getting
Saturday?
Married.
Oh, this coming Saturday.
Is the big ceremony and event.
I got you.
Is this coming weekend, so, but they couldn't wait.
So what do you make of that? What's that all about?
I don't know.
What are people going to then? Just a party?
Well, they're going to do a full-blown Indian ceremony there as well as the reception. Elton John, Kate Moss, Elle McPherson, Donatella Versace were some of the people on hand at the 15th century British castle to celebrate the event with a 5-course meal and a ceremony. So it's good they had a little tiny ceremony before they went out and had the big ceremony. freaking rich people.
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
Word. Angelina Jolie's looking to add to her list of children. Apparently, she has filed papers to adopt a Vietnamese child this time around. This happened on Friday, despite the fact she's, of course, raising her children with Brad Pitt. She applied as a single parent, oddly enough, which no one quite knows what to make of that.
I heard that in, no joke here, in Vietnam, you cannot apply to adopt a baby if you're a single man. Single women can, single men cannot. So in other words, you have to be married in order to be on the kid's paperwork.
Oh, I see. And they're not married yet.
They're not married, right.
I got you. Did you guys know that Bobby Brown was bailed out of jail by a morning radio show?
No.
In Washington, D.C.? Did you hear that?
No, he said he was in jail. He didn't have money to get out.
Right. He was in jail for shirking his child support payments. And a Washington, D.C. area radio station bailed him out on the condition that he'd do their morning show for a week.
Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown. The station was Hot 99.5 in D.C., and Bobby bailed on that commitment as well.
Of course he did.
So they bailed him out and he didn't do it.
Very first day, they talked to him on the first day of the week last week and that he was supposed to do, and they got into a conversation and he hung up on him.
Hey, thanks for getting me out of jail.
And
see ya.
I thought we weren't going to talk about it. It's between me and my children because they started talking about why he was in jail. He hung up and hasn't been heard from since. So good investment, Hot 99.5.
There's your $20,000 worth right there.
That's awesome.
Speaking of investments, looks like Entertainment Tonight and The Insider are wringing every dollar out of the exclusive right deal they made with Howard K. Stern to shoot The Funeral of Anna Nicole Smith.
Right.
They had exclusive rights. They showed some footage on Friday night. They're going to run another hour of it tonight, but you won't see the actual burial until sometime tomorrow during Entertainment Tonight and The Insider. And then they'll stretch that out over those two shows.
So they're going to just tease it and 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 tease it.
Coming up next, here's some of the dirt that was taken out of the hole that Anna Nicole Smith went into.
God.
Do you know
anorexics are eating it?
Do you know if they're going to play this?
Hi, I'm Anna Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the World.
Anna?
I know they're not going to play
they're
that.
They're not going to.
For a fact.
I'd like to state right now that we would like to make that available for $1 million purchase by either of those programs.
Don't hold your breath.
Okay.
Star Jones Reynolds has her first gig since she lost her job on The View last year. Apparently, she's picked up a cameo role on Law & Order SVU. I was hoping against hope that she was going to be a corpse, but no, it looks like she will play a lawyer on the show who gets consulted on a case. Same episode co-stars Ludacris, by the way.
Is she an actress?
Nope.
But she is a lawyer.
Is she?
Yes. Now she's playing one on TV.
Wow.
Show scheduled to air during the May ratings sweep period, so you'll have to wait till May to see star Jones Reynolds in her acting debut.
Or not.
More TV news. You know those cavemen from the Geico commercials?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're getting their own TV series.
You're
saw that.
Kidding.
Yep.
Come on. Yeah, ABC's producing a pilot based on the characters from the 30-second commercials for Geico.
Guys, just
modern-day cavemen dealing with prejudice in Atlanta.
Sure. Just unplug the network. Just turn it off.
No, come on.
Turn
seriously.
It off.
They're cavemen.
All right, ABC will never make fun of Lost again if you don't put the caveman show
they're
on.
They're cavemen.
All is forgiven.
They are prejudiced against because they're cavemen.
See? That can
See
be rough.
How it is?
That can be really tough.
Sure it can. And they have to go into therapy and then they... Problems.
Calvary, right. Disillusioned with Hollywood.
And they're cavemen, though.
I don't mind.
Maybe they'll drive a van around the island.
All that.
And then the other island people from Lost will... be prejudiced against them.
And then Cheech can be their dad.
They don't drive well.
I don't mind those commercials, guys.
I think the commercials are charming.
They're fine. Funny, they're short,
funny,
you know, 30
entertaining
second
commercials.
Yeah. They crack me up.
30 seconds, 30 minutes. 30 seconds, 30 minutes. Someone give Psycho Mike a hug, please.
Why?
Just someone give him a hug.
I don't want to.
Kevin, he's close to
that. He's going to need it.
Come on, Kevin. Uh-oh, bad news?
Bad news over the weekend. Jared Leto. Lead singer of 30 Seconds to Mars broke his nose over the weekend jumping into the crowd while performing a show in El Paso, Texas.
Someone needs to hold Mike.
Noises.
He's frothing at the mouth.
Yeah, apparently it was pretty ugly, pretty bloody.
Oh,
but
my God.
The nose is broken, but apparently they say he'll be okay. Show's producer says it was one of the scariest moments he's ever witnessed in showbiz for 25 years.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Really?
He broke his nose, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. He wasn't eaten by a white tiger, right?
No, he was not. Right.
He just broke his nose.
Jared called it one of the best shows on the tour.
Because he's a rocker, man.
Broke my nose, dude!
He's an outlaw.
Woo!
Mike, you better send a card.
Oh, Jared.
Aren't you going to visit him? Give him some soup or something?
Well, I just wish I was at the show because I'd always dreamed of getting Jared's DNA all over me. It just wasn't blood.
Oh, that was
no
ugly
way to start a week.
No, wow. That's the wrong way, actually.
Today's celebrity birthday is Penn Jillette of the comedy magic team Penn and Jillette.
Are you sure about that?
Nope. What are they? Penn and Teller.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He's 52 years old today. John Frusciante from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Ralph does a great impression of him at the Grammys.
I like Grammys. I play guitar. It's good. I like play guitar.
He's still an amazing guitarist. But
what's up? What's up with Johnny Boy?
I'll tell you what's up. Is his brain is fried. That's what's up.
Someone hit him in the back of the head with a snow shovel? What up with Johnny?
Thank you for everything. We're happy to be here.
Dude, he's got trouble from the inside out. He
really
listen,
does. Maybe then John Corky Frusciante shouldn't be talking in the mic so much when they accept awards.
Well, let's talk a little more playing
Let
guitar.
Let the other three, and you keep wet and sticky away from the microphone. How about that? Seriously, Special Olympics. Nikki Taylor, model, is 32 years old today. Eva Mendez.
Wow.
From Ghost Rider and many other feature films. She's diabolical. She's 33 years old today. And Jake Lloyd. The name may not be familiar to you, but he played little Anakin Skywalker in the very first episode of Star Wars. He's 18 years old today, and he has gotten the career he deserves.
Which is?
He hasn't worked since.
Yeah.
He was horrible.
He was horrible.
Not good.
Horrible.
There's a lack of talent there.
I didn't hate him that much.
Horrible.
Kevin, you don't remember how bad he was.
I may not.
He may have killed. He almost killed the franchise.
I would rather see John Frusciante play the role than Jake Lloyd. That's how.
I'm a robot. I'm a Jedi. Look at me. I go. I have forces with me.
What the hell's up with that dude? We still play them on the station.
Oh, right? Yeah, a lot.
Cool.
Still a great guitarist.
I'm not. Did I say anything about his guitar playing?
No, you did not.
It's the lip moving with the mouth so much speaking problem he has today.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garmer, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk to our sister producer, Alex, Super Whore.
Hello. She's
affectionately known.
What up?
And a new feature that we'd like to call Black... Down. Now, here's the thing with Alex.
What? How have I disappointed you now?
Alex enjoys... Oh, you haven't disappointed me.
Okay.
Alex enjoys size.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's accurate?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
No pun intended. I've come to enjoy size. It wasn't intentional.
It wasn't original?
No, it's just the first guy I was with was big, but you don't know that because he's your first guy.
Sure. Right?
Then the next few after that were about the same size, so I just figured, okay, this is normal. Till I had a normal guy and I thought he was small.
Yeah. Why are you talking about me like that, Alex?
And I complained to my girlfriends, and then they were mad at me and they had to explain to me, no.
You've just been lucky so far. You just hit the lottery.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we, of course, follow that up, that knowledge up, with the question, how many black guys have you slept with?
And that answer is
yes.
Zero.
Zero.
But it's not for my lack of trying. They don't like me. They just don't. They
brothers
like to,
are not attracted to you?
They like to party with me and hang out, but they never really ask me for my number. There's no follow-up.
Your ass isn't big enough.
Are you sure?
I'm just trying to figure out what it could be.
Because Anella's told me, our black friend Anella,
yes,
that I am a white girl with a ghetto booty.
Oh, really?
And I enjoy my junk in my trunk. That's mm-hmm. fine. There's no follow-through with the brothers. And I don't know why.
That's interesting.
Because I'm an equal opportunity hoe.
Sure.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
Well, Alex, I'm sure you've thought about that. I'm sure you've been at a party and you've been chatting up a brother, and then you thought, well, maybe this will go someplace, and then all of a sudden he just loses interest. What do you think's going on?
I don't know, Bean. I'm not in his head.
I know, but
his pants.
You
exactly.
Understand, how the male-female relationships take off.
I think so. Maybe I found somebody else, he found somebody else, and our ships just passed
but
in the night.
I can understand that happens one time, that happens three times, that happens your whole life, though?
But the difference with you is I'm not actively seeking a Latin guy or an Asian guy or a black guy. I'm just seeking guys that are interesting to me that I can go sleep with. Bean, people need to know behind the scenes, Bean is obsessed with the fact that I have not been with a black man to the point where I think Bean needs to sleep with someone. Who's African-American?
Well, Bean loves the black woman.
I do.
He
That's
does.
True.
Hey, why do you think I was at Roscoe's Fried Chicken and Waffles last night? You know, it's not for the food. I'm saying, Alex, that at some point, it seems like it would have happened over the course of thousands of encounters, it seems like
right.
There would have been a couple.
Would have been in the favor. But I'm not
purposely sleeping with someone just for the color of their skin. Like, that doesn't turn me on.
No, the color of their skin indicates the size. That's what we're saying.
Well, no, I've heard from girlfriends, and Lisa can back me up, just because you're black doesn't mean you're big.
Did the wheel of racial stereotype, sister.
That true, though,
it was true.
They're actually supposed to be wider, not longer, which is actually better.
Okay, excellent.
I second that.
That's good news.
Alex, what do we have to do to right this wrong? Because I feel like this is the new civil rights movement that needs to
happen. This is so distressing to be.
It is. It's distressing to all of us. It's
not
just me.
Forget what's going on in South Africa and AIDS. Forget about Darfur.
No.
Forget about the war in Iraq.
This is the one we got to fix.
But
this is the mountain we're
going to
die on.
It's like you're telling us, guys, I love ice cream. Ice cream is my favorite dessert in the whole wide world, but I've never had chocolate. I mean, you look at that, you go, it doesn't make any sense. Like, at some
dark
point,
chocolate.
Why wouldn't you have chocolate ice cream? That's all we're saying.
Chocolate ice cream doesn't want her.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why.
I've never turned it down. It's never been offered to me.
Every time she goes to the ice cream store, they're out of chocolate.
I'm so sorry. Here's some mint chocolate chip.
Here, this chocolate ice cream would like to be your friend, but you can't eat it.
This chocolate ice cream will have a drink with you,
right.
But then we'll go home with someone
That's
else.
Not it.
Well, Alex, we've got to do something about this.
Bean has been obsessed with this.
Well, because it's wrong.
Wasn't the girl that you had sex with on the conference room table of your radio station a black girl?
You always get that story mixed up. Different
I always
girl.
Thought she was, too.
Different girl. I know, that's because that's the way Kevin has always told it, but no, different girl.
Okay. Right.
Different girl.
How many black chicks have you had sex with?
A couple. Not enough. Not enough.
But since you've stopped having sex altogether.
How many were sober?
None. Well, I don't hang out with drunk girls. You know that. So, yeah.
Not totally in order to sleep with them?
Here's what we should do. Here's what we should do. We should take, emails from people or something like that and set you up on some kind of a speed dating
deal. Our one black listener. I'm going to go on a date with him.
Yeah. We can set you up on some kind of a speed dating kind of deal, and you can pick somebody that you think would be interesting, and you could
Sweet.
Go out with them.
And then you drink box them.
For example, Tiger is calling from Sherman Oaks.
Tiger.
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
Tiger.
How are you?
Pretty good. I know what you're thinking. This is my real name. I'm not on the run, I promise.
This is your real name, okay.
Wow. All right, so Tiger, help us out here, because I think there's something Alex is not telling us. But
you know what I think? What? I think she's been hit on by plenty of black men. She's a little bit too picky. Or maybe she's getting the wrong ones. You're getting the thugs, and they're scaring you off. Am I right?
I tend to get the nice thugs.
So you're saying she needs a Carlton is what you're saying.
Right.
Tiger, I got to tell you.
Here's the thing. All men in L.A., they're all dogs. She needs to try a tiger. That's the problem.
Ah.
Whoa. Listen to that rap.
I got
to
tell you, from what I've been able to tell from her stories and whatnot, she's not too picky.
But apparently she is when it comes to this area.
No, I don't discriminate against the dick.
Alex, how do you look?
How do I look? I'm 5'6". I have blonde hair, green eyes. I got a C-rack, what, like $130?
Tiger, we know Alex, and I'm telling you, she's worth a toss.
She's very
That's
attractive.
Not the problem isn't that she's not attractive. That's not the problem at all.
Not attractive, huh?
No, the problem isn't that she's not attractive, I'm saying. There's something else going on here, and I don't know, maybe she's afraid of the black man, and she doesn't want to admit it.
I'm not.
I've been with quite a few women that actually told me I was the first black guy they ever been with. I don't know, is it because I talk like a white guy or what, but I love white girls. I prefer white women over black women. Black women are difficult to get along with, and we always seem to butt heads when we go out.
Right.
Hey, Tiger, I'm not looking for a relationship here, dude. I need to be able to hang out with you for about an hour and then go home.
Should we put Tiger on the list for putting some sort of an event together, I think is what I
mean. Yeah, we can call it black.
Good.
Down. Who's in? All right, hold on, Tiger. We're going to get your information. And anybody else that is listening that would like to be considered for this honorary role, I don't know what
awesome.
It is, email us, kevin@krock.com, bean@krock.com.
I got to ask you this, Alex, because I know how you operate. It's not a cash deal, right? I mean, it's not like
I've slept
highest
with guys
bidder or anything like that, right?
Broken stone, but they were hot.
Okay. All right, cool. I just pictured you asking for a large
check. I've been with big guys. I mean, Nick was asking me at Ducks Day, which is really disturbing. But I was like, look, I've been with guys that are like 6'6". I've been with guys that are like 250. I've been with, big guys.
Okay.
So I'm not afraid of like a brother who can, bring it.
Where is that whore?
She's not afraid of a brother who can bring it. That's what we need to call it.
All right. We're going to make it happen for you, Alex, by noon today. So what's the story you found about Bean's people?
Well, Bean loves himself the UFOs. He, A, believes because he wants to, and B, would like to be probed, I think.
Well, I'm not looking to be probed, but I have said that I do hope that the aliens come in my lifetime, and I do hope that I get taken, because that's my goal.
We hope
Hell
so,
of a goal.
Too.
Hell of a goal.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you supporting my dream.
So I was reading in the Ottawa Citizen, which I, of course, get every day, and former Canadian defense minister. So this is, who's that here in America right now? It's no longer, what's it, the defense minister, the minister of defense. I don't know his name.
Defense Secretary?
Yeah.
That's guy?
Donald Rumsfeld. He's like their Donald Rumsfeld.
Okay.
In Canada, is demanding that world governments disclose alien technology so that you could so that we could save the problem of climate change. You could fix everything. Global warming, gone.
Wow.
Alien technology.
Sounds like a good idea. I mean, it sounds like they must have the most fuel-efficient vehicles in the sky today, though. If they can get from whatever planet they're on, they have to be able to travel a lot further than we can.
Yeah, apparently he saw a UFO in 2005 and now realizes that they must really get good gas mileage or whatever, however they use their fuel.
Well, it was a Prius, though, wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't know. But he really is trying to talk to governments. He's trying to tell them all, listen, come out with the alien technology. Let us know. We can solve this whole problem.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, and it's always fun when somebody that used to be that big of a public figure comes out with stuff like this.
Absolutely.
So we thought we would talk to the man, a former defense minister in Canada. Good morning, sir.
Hello, eh?
You know, I didn't hear. What is your name, sir?
Lester Pearson, eh?
Lester Pearson. Okay, Lester. Well, did Kevin describe accurately what it is you're trying to do is get the world governments to give up the technology that they've learned from aliens?
That's right. What's all this about? If we don't have other sources for technology, eh, other than fossil fuels, eh, we're all going to die or something, eh?
How old are you, sir?
I'm 83, eh?
Okay. So you can say anything at this point, and people just write it off as you're a crazy old man.
Oh, there's no point being like that, eh? You're not helping things at all.
What can you tell us about the UFO encounter you had, sir?
Well, I was out drinking some Labatt's, eh? Out mm-hmm. by the hockey rink.
Right.
And I was making my way to my Forerunner, my automobile.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out in the parking lot, eh? And I stopped to write my name in the snow, eh?
Right.
And the next thing I know, these giant lights were on me, eh? And I heard a voice, like, coming out from the sky, eh? Like on a speaker or something.
Right. What did it say?
And it said, "Don't pee outdoors, eh?"
Did it say A at the end of it?
That's not legal, eh? Cut it out. Hey, what's with the peeing?
Are you sure that
and
wasn't
then
a cop?
And the next thing, the lights were gone. And it was like quick, like it, like all the colored lights and everything were gone, eh? So I said, wow, aliens don't like people peeing outside.
No, they made that very clear, didn't they?
Yeah. So I knew at that point that I had a close encounter mm-hmm. of the pee kind, eh?
Sure.
Now, what makes you think a government like the United States government, which is not claiming that they have alien technology, especially from the Roswell thing, is going to come out and say, oh, yeah, we do. Let's go ahead and solve global warming?
Because we can't afford to muck around anymore, eh?
Mm-hmm.
We have it's like crisis time, eh? Because the skies are all getting all polluted and the temperatures are changing. So right. We need to, you know, quit lying, eh, and just say, okay, we know how to do good stuff with nothing.
You sound dangerously close to going out on the road with a slideshow. I'm very concerned about what you're saying here.
Well, I was talking to Mork the other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Nanu first. And then he said, we know how to, like, fly spaceships on practically, like, just air or water,
sir,
or something, eh?
Sir, Mork is just a TV character from the 70s. I mean, that's not a real guy. That was the actor Robin Williams.
Well, that's what Mr. Spock said to me after I told him that. Well, but I think I know, like, you know, that's the warp drives and stuff that they know how to work.
But he's just from Star Trek.
He's just an actor. Leonard Nimoy played a character called Mr. Spock. He's not real.
That's funny. That's what Kal-El told me when I was talking about the Kryptonian technology
that
we could use here.
All right. You need to spend less time at the comic book conventions and maybe more time here on planet Earth, sir.
That's funny. Marvin the Martian told me that when I was talking about how she was going to blow up the Earth, eh? I said, cut it out. And he said, don't tell me, tell the Cylons.
Well, you sound like you know what you're talking about. I can't argue with that.
Oh, I just pooped myself.
Oh, no. Time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day. You can leave a message on any topic, and we'll play the best ones back. We are asking you to leave your phone number now in case we need to get a hold of you.
Okay.
But a lot of people call us while driving, and this one being you are going to especially love, being the Raider hater that you are. Wait till you hear this.
Hey. I just got passed by a piece of crap truck. Had a hand-painted Raiders sign all the way across the back window of the truck. But Raiders was spelled R-A-T-E-R-S.
No. No. No.
Oh, yes.
No.
Yes! But yes.
Are you kidding me?
Sometimes your fans can do damage to your cause. And in that case, that guy's probably not helping much.
But if you're a real Raiders fan, don't you see the word enough that you would know how it is spelled?
Yeah, you'd see it all the time. You'd say it all the time. You'd talk about it all the time.
And by the way, a lot of people make fun of the Raiders. Not me, of course, but a lot of people make fun of the Raiders. I'd like to give them props because they did win 2 games last year. I mean, that was a pretty good year for them.
Yeah, still had a better season than my Arizona Cardinals.
All right. This one is about The Secret. We talked about this last week.
The Secret. The Secret.
It's the newest, I don't know, craze that Oprah's behind now. It's basically just the power of positive thinking. And we had a K-Rock listener who listened to that and decided to try it.
I'm going to use a secret to try and make traffic crappy. Hey, it works! It works! Traffic is crappy!
Wow. Very impressive.
It does work. We're going to have to take that back. A lot of the power of a joke is in the telling.
Yeah, these two cannibals, they were eating a clown. One cannibal looks at the other cannibal and says, does this taste funny to you?
Not everybody is a good singer and should be making up songs.
Flip the blister with her ass up facing the pillow.
I like the sentiment behind it.
Yes, the sentiment is good. Needs a little work. Go ahead and work on that a little bit more before you call it next time. Everybody can agree on loving Psycho Mike.
Hey, guys, I got a suggestion. You could improve your show by, like, I don't know, 400% by gagging that friggin' hyena of a homosexual midget you call Mike. Shut him up. Shut up, Mike. Mike, shut up. Shut up, Mike. Mike, shut up.
Hey, Mike is hoping to be gagged. That's the problem.
No. DeJuan from time to time calls us.
I love DeJuan.
And
does he like Drew Barrymore?
Depending on the time of day, he can be very, very low-key or kind of very energetic. He's very different. Every time he calls, it's a little bit different. Well, this DeJuan is a very happy DeJuan.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, what's up? This is DeJuan from Los Angeles, California.
That's my favorite thing, first of all, is that he always tells us that he's not only from Los Angeles, but also California.
Well, he also wants us to know which DeJuan it is, in case we're confused that there are all the myriad of DeJuans that call us. This is the one from Los Angeles, California.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, what's up? This is DeJuan from Los Angeles, California. You guys need some flavor in your ears.
Oh.
You too, Lisa May.
Ooh.
And also Drew Barrymore. She needs flavor in her ear. Here comes the brand new flavor in your ear. Talk about flavor in your ear.
How old is that song? Did you say 10 years?
What is that Craig Mack song? That was from like 94.
Yeah, why all of a sudden the Craig Mack love?
I don't know, but everybody needs flavor in their ears. And then he sings it at the end.
I mean, it's not like he's calling up going to the left, to the left. I mean, how about something, you know, this century, DeJuan? God bless you, but come on.
So then, and this took me about half the call to realize that the next caller is also DeJuan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Kevin and Bean. This is Count Blackula from Transylvania in Europe.
No.
90,000 years old now. We just called to say, what's up, guys? And I just want to trick you guys. All right, I should go back to my palace, my castle. Later.
Let's go smell some pie. Let's go smell some pie.
Come on.
Let's go smell some pie.
Yes.
Let's go smell some pie.
We cool.
Yes, we cool. 323-520 Afro 24 hours a day, and Ralph is next with the showbiz beat.
I'm gonna go see Lisa and the Vagina Monologues this weekend. That's what I'm gonna do.
Uh-huh.
I miss Nick.
See Nick, actually.
Good times hanging out with Nick, and good times with all the Anaheim Ducks fans that we had the big pre-party with ahead of the game. By the way, I know you love the Ducks. Another big comeback from behind last night that they won too, Kevin.
Yeah, I didn't see that. yeah, hockey fans are all cool, I think.
Very cool. Yeah. And we saw a spectacular mullet. I didn't get his name, but one of our K-Rock listeners is rocking a mullet right out of 1989. It was awesome. So well done, sir. Well done. 6:46, Monday morning. Ralph's here with the showbiz beat.
Hey, what's up, party people? Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Wild Hogs.
Yeah. Okay.
$38 million.
What? Damn.
To go see Tim Allen and John Travolta and Martin Lawrence ride motorcycles.
What?
All right, fine. That's how it's going to be?
Fine.
What are the options for
What do you guys make of that?
What are the options?
Just people will go to any comedy. If you just call anything a comedy, people will show
up. Yeah, they want to laugh.
They want to laugh.
Zodiac was number two at the box office, made over $13 million in
very
its
funny
open weekend.
Very funny.
But not as, clearly.
Yeah.
$11.5 million is what Ghost Rider made. Good enough to make it number three this weekend at the box office. Bridge to Terabithia, still hanging in there, about $8.5 million, made it number four. Number 23 was number five. Norbit, still hanging in there in the top ten. It's six.
Hey, man. Hey.
Music and Lyrics was number seven. Hugh Grant comedy made almost $5 million. Good enough to keep it in the top ten. Number eight was Black Snake Moan. In its debut, made only about $4 million.
What?
It's kind of disturbing.
You know why that is?
No.
John Singleton, producer of the film, stiffed us on the Kevin Bean Show Friday morning.
And that had reverberations throughout the country.
We put a curse on it.
Reno 911 Miami, the movie, was number nine at the box office. Then Breach, the spy thriller starring Chris Cooper, was number 10 at the box office. Made about $3.4 million this weekend. Made it number 10 at the box office. Thanks to Exhibitor Relations Company for those numbers. Yeah, Hannah Nicole Smith, dead.
What, still?
I hadn't heard about that. I don't know if you know, but there was a big deal made by Entertainment Tonight and The Insider for exclusive filmed rights to the funeral. They're not done showing the highlights. Oh, no, not by a long stretch. Of course, Anna was buried last week, but no, there was a little teaser on Friday night that showed some footage, and tonight they're going to run another hour's worth. And then finally, tomorrow night, they'll show the actual footage of Anna Nicole Smith being buried, because what's the point of dishing out big bucks to Howard K. Gould, her lawyer, if you don't string it out?
They're probably going to show the burial itself in slow motion so they can make it last longer.
Believe it or not, Anna was in a casket.
Thanks for that shocking update,
Pat. Ruff, you told us on Friday that the somebody was auctioning off some video rights, a chance to put a camera up to take still photos and video, remember?
If you were a paparazzi and you wanted to get into the gated community where the event was taking place, you had to pay per camera or per live hookup, and I think Paramount finagled a deal. They paid over and above the asking price to get exclusive rights.
So they got even closer to the corpse.
Keep everybody out.
I wonder how much money Howard K. Stern has made so far in Anna's death. A couple million?
Great question.
You think?
Easily.
Yeah.
Anna.
Speaking of Anna, Prince Frederick von Anhalt. We haven't heard from him in a while. This is the dude married to Zsa Zsa Gabor for the past 20 years, who said he was also one of Anna Nicole's lovers.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
He told Star Magazine that Anna was being used by Howard K. Stern.
What?
No.
The hell he says.
That guy is insightful.
He said Anna would call him around 2 a.m. for some nights to complain that Howard was making her sleep with men for favors that they would provide for him.
So what? if he wanted a sports car or a boat or a trip, Anna, go do me a solid.
Yeah.
Wow.
But look, she's banging everybody anyway. Might as well get something out of it. You know?
I guess.
Kevin Federline was in Vegas over the weekend.
I didn't see him.
First time he was out and about.
I'm sure you were at the same places.
He was rocking the new nightclub Revolution there. I believe that's at the, where's the Love Beetle? The Beetle Love Show. Is that the Mirage?
That I don't know.
I think so.
I
think it's Mirage, yeah.
Anyway, that's where he was.
Bean, were you there at that party?
No, my dad and I went bowling at the Santa Fe Casino and then went to the buffet and then got back in time to watch Psych on the USA Network at 9.
Wow, I wonder why you didn't run into Cape Ed.
That was our Saturday
night.
I've
never even heard of the Santa Fe Casino.
Dave News Network says it is the Mirage.
Mirage, yeah. Federline was out and about for the first time since his soon-to-be ex-wife Britney Spears went into rehab at Promises. Apparently, the tabloid The Star magazine spotted Kevin and said he kept it low-key. Spent the evening with a few friends, ignored people trying to get the VIP section to meet him or beat him, and was pretty well behaved. So,
what do you guys,
once again, he is the cooler head prevailing.
Where are the kids?
What do you guys make of the
Kennel?
Britney's now wearing her wedding ring again talk? They're going to get back together.
I can't think of anything but the story I have on Britney Spears.
Okay.
Nothing else matters.
Right. Okay.
According to British insiders at a British newspaper, the Daily Telegraph, Britney Spears has lost her mind in rehab.
Yeah.
She has scrawled the devil's number 666 across her freshly shaven head.
Oh, come on.
According to News of the World,
that's too good to be
true. She began to scream at staff members at Promises, "I am the Antichrist. I am the Antichrist." And then tried to hang herself with a bedsheet.
Oh, my God. Was this the first time?
I don't care about your little wedding ring story, my friend.
No, that's the best story ever.
Kevin, are the DTs tough when you're coming off the smack?
I don't know. I've never come off smack.
Yeah.
Really?
This is what they're saying.
What's their source? Just an insider or some friend?
From Britain's News of the World. It's one of those tabloids. I'm sure this story is false, but it's spectacular.
Someone who's wishful thinking.
I choose to repeat it often.
Wow.
666 on her head. I am the Antichrist. Then screaming at staff members. Tried to hang herself with a bed sheet, but they got inside her her room there and brought her down before she could hurt herself.
So. That sounds more like Omar behavior than it does Britney behavior, doesn't it?
It's true. Nope. I think it's real, and I'm saying it happened.
Oh, if she walked out of that rehab with 666, like, carved into her forehead like Manson, oh, that would be the best.
Yeah, I think she used a highlighter or something. She had, like, an eyebrow pencil. I don't think she's that dedicated to the whole crazy thing. If you want to see Spider-Man 3... First, you're going to have to fly over to Tokyo, Japan.
Hey. Oh, really? They're releasing it there.
Spider-Man 3 will be released on May 1st, 3 days before it opens here in the U.S. over in Tokyo.
Well, that's worth the trip. But over there, Ralph, correct me if I'm wrong, it's called Spider-Man Tree.
Oh, my God.
Wow. For your consideration.
It should be Flea, actually.
I got to work on that.
It'd be Flea.
All right, I'll work on that.
Yeah. Here's why I'm thinking why they do it. Because, you know, those little bastards over there, you know, they're...
Which little bastards?
You know, the Japanese.
Right.
They're crazy with the black market videos.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens is they get the bootlegs here from the States, and they release them in Tokyo before the movie ever hits the screens over there, and they lose a lot of business to the black market DVD.
Oh, I guess I could see that, yeah.
So what happens is now they're going to show it over there first before someone can bootleg it over here from a theater in the States, make copies and get it over there so that they'll try to actually get some box office money from those bastards before it all goes down.
By the way, China and a whole lot of other countries, nations do that. It's the exact same thing.
Oh, they live and die by the black market DVD. Yeah. So here's Sony's chance, I guess, hopefully to make some actual, some legitimate money before they start losing it to the black market.
Those Japs are sneaky. You know why? Because they're small and they have beady little eyes. Don't trust the yellow man.
And they black market DVDs. Yeah. Bootlegs. Bootleggers, I say. Bootleg. Also in Tokyo right now, Michael Jackson.
In Tokyo.
He was in Tokyo yesterday to host a party.
What?
He's hosting a party.
Who's a worse host of a party than Michael Jackson?
Well, it depends on who you invite.
Is it a Chuck E. Cheese party?
Oh.
Apparently, hundreds of screaming Japanese boys and girls greeted him at the airport when he landed. Wonder how many he took home with him.
What party?
He was throwing himself a VIP party. If you wanted to spend 30 seconds of FaceTime with Michael, you paid $3,500.
The people who met him paid?
Yes.
At the party.
You wanted 30 seconds of hi, how are you to Michael, you cough up $3,500.
Dollars. $3,500 just to essentially shake his hand and say I'm a big fan. Long
American
time.
Dollars.
Him.
Yes.
For 30 seconds.
Yep.
Wow.
Then Michael judged an art contest. He was paid to do that. And apparently the three finalists that Michael chooses in the art contest get to have brunch with Michael and get their pictures taken with him.
Wow. That is just whoring yourself out
He's doing... He's doing custom car and van show personal appearances now, pretty much. That's what it
is. Wow. I mean, $3,500 for 30 seconds with, you know, Jenna Jameson. Maybe now we're talking. But to say hi to Michael Jackson, no thank you.
You know he's not going to talk. He's just going to... That's it. So $3,500. I'm just saying, he's not
can
well-spoken.
Can I hear your Michael Jackson?
That's it. Okay.
That's right. How much cost for that?
Yeah,
exactly. $70,000.
Man, oh, man.
And here's an example of people with too much money. Kanye West... He loves an Indian restaurant in New York.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. He loves an Indian restaurant, takeout restaurant in Wales. Apparently, he was on tour and he went to this Welsh restaurant, and they do a lot of high end Indian takeout in the UK because there's a high Indian population over there.
Right.
So he fell in love with it. So what he's going to do is get the chef from the restaurant and all the ingredients for the food, and fly him to London, then get him a plane to New York. To come to his house to cook him the meal.
Oh, then God.
Send him back.
Well, there's no food in New York. In Kanye's defense, there's no good restaurants there.
Oh, my God.
The food, the meal he's getting, basically, would cost about $17.50 in the restaurant in Wales. The total tab for everything that Kanye is going to do in order to eat the same food in his house in New York, $3,900.
That sounds unnecessary.
Wow. For some Indian takeout food.
My mind, when you started talking about how he has too much money and that he enjoys that restaurant, I thought he's going to have the food flown over.
No, he wants it fresh. Chef. So he's got the chef and the ingredients flown over. The guy will make it there at the house.
Wow.
There's no Indian restaurants in New York, Ralph.
That's
come on.
True.
It's not even a high-end thing? $17?
Just standard Indian takeout. Kanye loves it.
Wow. I need that kind of money. That's awesome. Look, I went to a Taco Bell one time in Florida.
But he's not dealing with no broke restaurants in New York.
That's true.
Finish this sentence for me. Kanye West is...
Black.
George Bush hates him.
That's what I hear.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dean Stockwell. Very talented actor. He was in Quantum Leap for many years. Now you can see him on Battlestar Galactica. He's 71 years old today. Penn Jillette, comedian and magician, 52 years old today. John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's 37 years old today. I wonder how John's going to celebrate.
Hey, Frank. How come you haven't gotten up yet?
I'm wet and sticky.
I like birthdays! More cake, please!
His performance at the Grammys was... not great. He spoke just like that, and yeah. I was like, oh my
no, I
God.
Thought his performance was great.
His play.
But then they let him get to the microphone.
Yeah.
Thank you for your award! We like Grammys!
John, tell me about making Stadium Arcadia. What was that like for you?
I play a coin, and they say go, and then stop. They say cut, and then we do another one.
That is not very nice. I have a nephew who's retarded, and he has to wear a helmet.
John should start wearing a helmet.
Yes, he should.
Nikki Taylor, models 32 years old today. Ooh. Eva Mendes.
Ooh.
A lot of people saw her in Ghost Rider this weekend, 33 years old today. And the Proclaimers. Remember Craig and Charlie Reed from Scotland?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I would walk 500 miles in. I would walk 500 miles. Where are those guys today? I want to follow up to that hit.
Those are the worst lyrics ever.
Worst
that is a
accent,
bad song.
Worst lyrics, worst song ever. Could not stop hearing it everywhere you turned. Everybody was playing it all the time.
So he would walk 500 miles.
And I would walk 500 miles.
And he would walk 500 miles.
Just a beat up man. He walked out there. The closer get down at your door. Hey, lady.
It's funny. The song was like 2.5 minutes long. It seemed like it was 20 every time it came
never
on.
Never ended. Twin geeks and just big glasses, red hair, geeks.
They couldn't just walk 1,000. They had to walk 500 and then 500 more.
You take a break. You're tired after 500. All that song needed was bagpipes to make it more annoying. Anyway, they're 45 years old today, sitting at home now, fat eating Cheetos, saying, why don't we have a life anymore? We were pop stars. I'm Ralph Garman. I work the Showbiz Beat.
So Ralph, our entertainment reporter, told us on, I don't know, Wednesday, last week, I can't remember, that there's a new show on the Oxygen Network, and it's called Shelarious, and it is for stand-up comedians that are female.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sent Psycho Mike down to the auditions. They were Friday, right?
Good idea. Yeah, Friday after the show, about 11 o'clock.
There aren't a lot of, I mean, when you think about, you know, legendary stand-up comedians over the decades, there aren't a lot that are women.
No, I mean,
not as many. I don't know why it is that it's tougher for women to make it in that business.
By the way, Joan Rivers, I know we hate her with the heat of 1,000 suns, but she was a permanent fill-in for Johnny Carson. She was maybe the biggest female comedian ever.
Yeah, you could be right about that.
Maybe Roseanne, I guess.
Roseanne was huge. Obviously, there are still some today, like our friend Sarah Silverman, who's hilarious. I mean, she's great. She is a really, really funny woman.
She's an anomaly, though.
I mean, she's a really funny woman. But in general,
Ellen just hosted the Oscars.
Yeah, she can be funny. In general, though, it's a lot harder for women to do comedy.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
I looked at this audition for the Oxygen Network, you know, comedian show, as kind of like the Special Olympics,
mm-hmm.
because they weren't allowing all athletes, just the ones that had the handicap. You know?
Right. Tell us about your attitude going in, though.
So look, stand-up comedy is very hard, and I'm not going to go in there just ready to make fun of anyone, okay? I consciously made that decision. I'm driving over. So I'm going to give these girls a chance. They're doing something that's very difficult. It takes a lot of courage to do this.
It does.
So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
That's what you're famous for when it comes to women, by the way.
I'm
preying on their already damaged self-esteem.
I know my gender relations in the past haven't been the best.
Really?
So I said, I'm gonna work on it. I'm going to go over there with my eyes open, okay? My eyes and my mind wide open. So
as they say, dying is easy. Comedy is hard.
Yeah. But you have an open mind. You want to find what they say funny.
I wanted to go down there and find the next Sarah Silverman.
And we told you to find us a new traffic reporter, too. Remember, we said keep your eyes peeled.
That was off.
I didn't say that out loud, did I?
Damn it.
Then I pull up and I see a girl dressed as a cow.
What?
Waiting in line.
Oh, no.
And I say, oh, no, here we go. The girl with the wacky, zany act. You know, she's dressed as a cow. My focus is right on her. I said, I'm going to go with her. I'm going to start off right.
Cow girl.
And I say, listen to me. Don't give me your cow shtick. Just give me a chunk of your comedy so I can see what you're working with. And she will not deviate from her, I'm really a cow. This is not a costume, zany, wacky act.
No.
Listen how this goes.
Costume? I kind of wear it every day.
You dress in a cow's outfit every day.
You kind of hurt my feelings.
Can you give me some sample of your comedy?
But I don't...
I want you to tell me a joke.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cow. Did you see that? Because I have udders. And then I just rolled it right in there because I got milk.
Listen to me. I need you to stop with the cow stuff, with the cow shtick.
What are you trying to say?
Listen to me.
I'm all over it.
I'm asking you a serious question.
I just, you know, they were milking me all day.
Listen to me. If you don't quit with the fucking cow shtick, I'm going to punch you in your fucking head.
Oh, Mike.
I'll screw you with my udder.
Oh, my God.
Wow. She's committed. What? Committed to her character.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That's committed.
Okay, so you went in with an open mind, and that's the first person you talked to.
Number one. Now, by the way, my temperature's starting to boil just a little.
This is also kind of like American Idol, where everybody that shows up or who wants to be a superhero, the whole group, the auditions, right. Most of them, 99%, women, men, whatever, bad.
I'm sure there were some funny girls there. I'm just saying, I didn't find any. Okay. You know what I'm saying? There were so many there that I talked to that were bad.
But so is it
out of line at all to threaten to beat her in the head because you don't find her funny?
No. I edited that down. That was like 20 minutes of cow talk. So I'm not an official looking guy. I mean, I don't look like a journalist. You see me walking around somewhere with a microphone. I look like some bro from Cal State Fullerton doing like a senior project.
You do. You look like the opposite.
Yeah. Lightning gives me this mic flag that says K-Rock in massive bold letters you can see from like the Goodyear blimp.
Right.
So this one chick sees that and she runs up to me and says, I'm the female Armenian comedian.
Oh, fantastic. Did you get her phone number?
And she's like 70, and I wanted to, but...
I'm in.
Listen, things don't go too well. Wait a minute.
She's the female Armenian comedian, and things don't go well?
Listen to me. I immediately start recording when she says, I'm the female Armenian comedian. This is how it goes.
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm auditioning. I think so. I am the oldest person. I can be mama to all these little girls. So many bad freaking shows. I'm 57 years old, and...
You don't look a day over 70.
I am. My teeth falling out and they put them back in and I just don't care anymore. I don't care.
Do you believe that female comedy is reserved for ugly women?
Who is ugly? Your mama is ugly. Your family, everybody's ugly. No, I'm beautiful from inside out and I love show business, but I hate show business same time because you find a lot of like a stuck up, bad attitude, kind of gorgeous and bimbo type, bad attitude.
You sound bitter that... good-looking women get a lot of jobs,
no,
and you're reserved auditioning for oxygen shows.
I don't think so, because my son is 38, and my daughter Lou is beautiful. She's a pretty lady.
What does your son's wife have to do with your physical appearance?
I don't like assholes, and don't start an asshole attitude with me, because it doesn't work.
That's right.
Be nice to me, or get away from my face.
I'm just interviewing you.
Yes, you start to get a little freshened. I don't like your attitude.
You know, a sour attitude's not going to get you anywhere, young lady.
You have a sour attitude. F*** off.
Oh. Thank you.
Nice.
Wow.
So I wanted to get her info.
She approached you.
Guys, yeah. Did we not send the right guy?
Well, we talked about that. Remember on Friday morning off the air during the commercials and songs, we were like, maybe Mike's not the right guy.
It's not a love fest. I'll
but
tell you
having
that.
Said that, yeah, I mean, that
listen
woman,
to the comedy I had to deal with. You act like I'm out of line. I'm out of line for casting aspersions on their comedic abilities. So then I see this really hot chick, like normally she's dressed normally and she's really attractive.
Right.
And I'm confused. I'm like, what is a girl like you doing here?
Don't understand why a girl like you would resort to doing comedy, which is, you know, that's man's work.
Well, you know, I think it's sort of my vein of gold. I look completely normal, but at any given moment, I can be completely strange.
You can be strange?
I can be strange.
Let me get a little sample of that.
Of me being strange? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I can just... Was that strange?
What? I'm not an expert in comedy, but I don't think that would go over well. Say it like the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory.
You know, it most likely wouldn't, but you guys should get your hopes up about my performance.
Can't type, can you?
Nope.
Yeah. Can't type, answer
no,
phones?
No, I'm not going to be a secretary. I can't answer phones.
And your uterus doesn't work, does it?
How'd you know? How'd you know?
Because that's the only reason you'd end up here.
Aww.
That is going to be a sad
so
little
much
show.
Funnier than that girl.
Yeah.
Hey, she made that noise.
Yeah. What the hell's going on?
You know, I don't know. It is kind of weird. It would be like somebody showing up for the American Idol auditions and then being offended when you ask them to sing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're there to do comedy, right. And you can't get one person to say something funny.
And they have to do like a chunk. I asked the auditioning people, the evaluators, what they do. They have to do a stand-up chunk.
Guys,
so they have something prepared they could.
This is just like American Idol. They're awful comedians.
Yeah. Right, okay.
99% of them.
After all this, and there's way more girls I talked to than I brought tape. Finally, I talked to a girl who delivers some comedy.
Really?
Who tries her best, okay? Now you can see why I might have a sour attitude when this is the jokes I'm getting.
What are you doing here today?
I am trying to be funny, funny, funny.
Let me hear you try.
Okay, give me something that you would find in your refrigerator.
Tuna.
Tuna. 185 fish walk into a bar. Bartender says, I'm sorry, we do not serve your kind here. And 185 fish say, tuna fish. I do it better in the show. That one sucked. Okay.
Whoa.
What?
Time out.
What?
That was it? That was your comedy?
No. Give me 1 second.
They'll throw you in an oven in India for that
show. Oh, stop it.
That was horrible.
I'm an improviser.
I can see those improv classes are paying off.
Okay, let me try it again.
All right.
So the 185 fish say, tune out and tune in.
Holy
yeah,
sh!
Yeah, really.
All right,
really bad.
I got a joke
it's
for you.
Much better.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Looking for the tuna.
He was hoping to wander into traffic and get hit by a car because he heard you telling comedy.
Thank you.
Wow.
I'm the a-hole?
Really?
Well, you are really an a-hole, yes. But they were bad as well.
That is going to be a tremendous show on the Oxygen.
God.
He's going to beat American Idol, I'm guessing.
The golden age of television is here.
We had a K-Rock listener email us, and then we tried to contact this K-Rock listener, and this K-Rock listener did not want to be mentioned by name. So we'll read this anonymously.
Okay.
But we do still want to talk about the topic. A coworker just got back from vacation in Las Vegas with his girlfriend, and over lunch he was telling us about his trip. He busted out that he and his girl got his and her massages. It was all good until he dropped the bomb that it was actually two guys that did the massages.
A lot of people in Las Vegas get those massages at the high-end hotels. It's kind of a service they offer. They look at it as a little bit of rest and relaxation when they go there for the weekend.
I'm not usually a homophobe, he writes. I'm sure he meant phobe. But I have to draw the line with another male giving me a massage for pleasure. He did give up that he was naked under the towel, and the massage did include a butt rub. He found the whole experience to be normal and was quite upset that everybody else kept telling him that it wasn't normal to enjoy a massage from another man and that he was being made fun of. I think this might spark some controversy and be a good topic for a listener call-in. Thank you, random K-Rock listener.
Jim.
No,
or whatever your name is. This is Bean speaking. I've never had a massage, but if I were going to, I'd certainly choose a chick if I could. I mean, that would be my first choice.
Now, Ralph talked about this last week, and he's had massages for men and women. He has no preference and is fine with both of them, but he's so much more open-minded than you guys.
Since I got in my car accident, I've had back trouble, so I've had a lot of massage, but it's actually hurts. It's not pleasant under any circumstances,
right.
But I always request a female because you can. And
right.
Females are just better.
At everything.
I mean, really.
Except for comedy.
Ralph just walked into the studio. Ralph, good morning.
Yeah, I've had the bunch of massages, and I've had them from both men and women. I've had really good massages from guys, and I've had really bad ones from guys, and same with women. There's been no you know, marked difference in the skill set between one or the other.
But if you've got if you're naked under a towel and you've got a man rubbing your ass, isn't it kind of hard to not feel kind of weird about that a little bit?
Well, no, because the purpose of the massage isn't, you know, unless you're going for into a parlor for a happy ending, the purpose of the massage has nothing to do with sex. It's not a sexual experience.
Look, Kevin has often said on this show that he won't get a haircut from a man. He doesn't want a man that close to him to cut his hair.
Are you kidding?
I was half joking, but yeah, I mean.
All right, you have a problem.
No. But,
no, you do.
But as far as the massage goes, there's two problems. One is the feeling of being gay. And the other is that guys tend to, and I know this from experience, tend to like to show how strong they are.
If you, want a deep muscle massage, if you really want them to get in there, yeah, a guy would be the choice to go to because they're stronger and they get more effective deep muscle tissue work, you know. It depends on what you want from the massage. But I always think any guy who's worried about a guy giving a massage, the only guys who really worry about it are the guys who are afraid they might like it. Mm-hmm. Those are the people who panic because, oh my God, what if I start to enjoy this or something and maybe I'm gay, then maybe I'm gay. The guy who knows he's not gay, who's not worried about it, it doesn't matter who's giving you the massage.
That's just not true.
It's completely true.
Not for me. It isn't.
But you're forgetting Johnny Drama on Entourage, who had the best masseuse in the world until he started thinking the masseuse was gay, and all of a sudden he couldn't even enjoy it anymore. Remember?
It's people who are susceptible to homosexual panic, I think, tend to have problems with that more than other people.
By the way, homosexual panic, you got to see them. They are tremendous.
They're tremendous. If you have no issues with your sexuality or anyone else's, I don't think it really matters one way or the
other. Not even a tiny bit uncomfortable?
No, because it's not a sexual interaction. If you're going in there hoping to have some sort of sexual titillation, or you're doing it for a reason that you want to be turned on or something, then yeah, you'd have to pick a woman. But
Ralph said titillation.
But that's not the reason I get a massage, and I think there are other people who feel the same way, is that it's there to serve a therapeutic purpose.
Now, I'm sure there are massage therapists listening who are insulted that the topic even came up because they consider themselves professionals, right?
They probably deal with it all the time, yeah. I mean, yeah. I imagine.
Are they putting oil on you, Ralph?
I don't like oil. I use the cream or lotion. Yeah.
Oh. So they're putting cream on you.
Lotion. Usually a nice aloe vera.
They bring their own dispenser, do they?
Yes, they do.
Their own spigot? Do you have to get the lotion out, or?
It puts the lotion on its body or it gets the hose again. I know that much.
Kirk and Torrance, good morning.
Morning.
Hi there. What do you think?
It's pretty much exactly just how Ralph said it. If you go in for a sexual experience, even if you go in for a female massage therapist, you're probably going to get disappointed because but they're there for a therapeutic massage, to give you a therapeutic massage, and that's pretty much what you're going to get unless you go to some...
Yeah, but going hoping for a hot experience, usually you will be disappointed because the chicks don't treat it that way at all. They're not the least bit sensual with you, or it doesn't feel the least bit sort of sexy.
But it seems like there would be some inherent sexuality built into the fact that you've got another human being with his hands deep into your body. You know what I mean?
This is Bean speaking.
I've never had a massage, so I don't even know what it's like.
And that's the main problem right there, is most people have not had massages, and so they inherently think it's some sexual experience, so then they attribute that to having problems with a guy giving them a massage.
But you and the other members of NSYNC love it when a guy rubs you.
See, the thing is, I've had a lot of sex and a lot of massages, and there's a big difference.
There's a big difference with them, yeah.
See, I think maybe Bean's problem is he has very little sex and no massage.
Neither, yeah.
So he's really confused about what the two experiences may be like. But there's a marked difference between the two.
Yeah, but I'm very aware
when I'm having a sexual experience versus when I'm not.
Well, because the TV's on if it's sex, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls next.
We're going to take a few more phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're addressing a question that a listener sent in to us a few days ago. His friend just got back from a vacation in Las Vegas, had the massage of his life from a dude. He said, hey, no big deal. Guy's professional. I enjoyed the massage. What's the problem? This guy who wrote the email says, I don't know, too gay for me. I don't think I'd do it. And that's what we're talking about at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we move along to Evan in Manhattan Beach. Hey, Ev, what's up?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi, Evan.
Morning.
Hello, Kevin and Bean, Mr. May.
Hello.
You've had massages from both men and women.
Yeah, I had actually a man and a woman at the same time, and I thought the man was great. He really worked my muscles and everything, and the girl, it felt like she wasn't pressing hard enough, and so I would actually prefer a guy from now on.
Evan, how fat are you that you need two people massaging you at the same time? What, does one guy take the bottom, one guy takes the top?
They can't get from the one side to the other in an hour session.
I mean, what's the deal, Evan? Seriously.
No, I don't know. It's just he worked in my muscles.
That's not what we're asking. We're asking why you need two people of any sex.
Oh, I just thought it would be a better massage. Yeah. It's the only professional massage I've gotten.
Why not three? Okay. Why stop at two?
All right. You should have one for each arm and leg.
Thank you for the call. Hey, let's try David in Corona. He has even more trouble than the emailer did about this. Hey, Dave, you're on the Kevin and Bean Sean Kerouac. What do you think?
Kevin, Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, David.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Ralph, you're so gay and so wrong in every way. How can you have a man massage your ass while you're naked. That is gay. I'm sorry. I cannot.
Ralph's not in the room right now, but let me answer for him that what if both parties accept that it is a non-sexual touching? The guy's not doing it to give you pleasure. The guy's doing it to get the job done, you know, to massage you. And the recipient is not getting sexual pleasure out of it, too. Is that still gay?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, David only knows touching as sexual. He has no other category.
Have you had massages, David?
Yes, but only by women. Okay. And my brother's gay, so I'm not scared of gay people. I mean, you can't get more gay than my brother.
Right,
so
as long as they don't touch you, though. That's what you're saying.
Yes, just as long as they don't touch me or look at me in any way, I'm fine with
okay,
it.
Okay, so
wait a minute. For God's sake.
So when your brother looks at you, are you uncomfortable?
You're very uncomfortable.
All right. Hey, David. Tim Hardaway, let me ask you this. What about when you go to the doctor or you go to the dentist or you go to the auto mechanic? What if they're gay? They're dealing with you.
Well, no, I can accept that, but a massage, no. And then ass massage, no, I can't go there. That's too close to your little friend down there. You know, that's different.
Not familiar with that friend. What are you talking about?
David's worried about getting excited.
I know he is. It's moving. It's funny you should bring that up. Here's the email from K-Rock listener John. Thank you for the call, David. K-Rock listener John writes in, guys, remember the classic Seinfeld episode? George Costanza got a massage from a dude and felt terrible because, quote, it moved. It's just not a risk worth taking, he says. Yes, Psycho Mike.
Let's keep in mind, these are not random guys that are going to just come through and touch you. These are professional masseuses, and that's their job. They understand circulation and biochemistry and human kinesiology, and that's why they're doing this. I mean, it's totally separate from some guy just... I mean, I think... I don't have a problem with a guy, professional masseuse, giving me a massage. I might be a little weirded out, like, by my buddy doing it.
Sure.
It's the fact that these are professionals. That's what they do.
By the way, you wouldn't be bothered by your buddy doing it.
Well,
right?
I like to say that on the air.
Yeah, okay.
And what about a physical therapist? It's pretty close to massage in many
ways.
Yes,
you're right.
Do you have a problem with that?
You got all those groin injuries you got to get taken care of. Why don't we close with Carlos, who has struggled with this same concern after a massage. Carlos, hi.
Hi, is that me? Hi, everybody. Killing Bean, Melissa May.
Hello, Carlos.
Hey, Carlos, how are you?
Hey, guys. Check it out. I was in the Navy, and I went to Turkey, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got a port call, so we were offered this Turkish bath package with everything included, the steam house. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Then it came the moment for me to for everybody. We were like probably like 30 people, right? So it came the moment for us to get the massages. These
right.
guys were they were big. They were probably in their 40s or 50s. They were professionals, scary mm-hmm. Turkish, ugly guys. But I lay down on the bed and they started doing stuff to my feet and my legs. They make me feel like a 15-year-old girl. Ever since I've been uncomfortable about that and having another man touching me.
Because now you're gay. Did it make you gay?
They made me feel things that I just don't want
Listen,
to think about.
Listen, it's also quite different to go to a port-a-call than it is to a normal, regular massage place, right?
So you were as straight as an arrow when you walked in there, and after the powerful fingers of your masseuse, all of a sudden now you're questioning your own sexuality.
Exactly. And let me tell you, I have a big crush on Carmen Electra. I love women.
You don't have to say that to make yourself feel better.
It's all right.
Listen,
yes.
Carlos, I have problems with my dog behaving when I go on a walk. What should I do?
He does sound a little bit like Caesar.
You'll take your dog for a walk?
Guys, there's nothing gay about the Navy. Come on. It is Monday morning, your final chance at tickets for our Breakfast with Corn coming up just after the top of the hour. So if you're a big Corn fan, stand around, sit by.
I'm sorry?
Stick around.
Do I have to stand around?
Stand around your phone.
All the various things that
chant.
You would do to be there when we give those away.
Mark,
coming up on
you?
K-Rock.
Yes,
right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I have some tickets to give away myself. The Museum of Television and Radio is having its William S. Paley Television Festival now through the 15th of this month. Some great TV shows are going to be highlighted, and they're going to have an evening with the creators and cast of those shows. Tomorrow night is The Closer, one of the most successful dramas on basic cable over there on TNT, The Closer, which is a great TV show. I enjoy it a lot.
I do too.
I've never seen that one.
Really?
I've heard
really
it's good, though. Everybody
it
talks about it like it's good.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon's wife,
Kira Sedgwick.
Kira Sedgwick is the star of the show, and she's won a Golden Globe for it, a couple other awards. She gives a real great performance. But I think the reason I watch And I'm weirder than most people. My favorite actors rarely are the big stars. I'm a big fan of like character actors and supporting right. actors, the people who always give terrific performances. Are you familiar with an actor named J.K. Simmons?
No.
Oh, sure, yeah.
J.K. Simmons has had a great career. He was on Oz. He played Vernon on Oz.
Oh, yeah.
Very scary in that. He plays J. Jonah Jameson in the Spider-Man movies. You might have seen him on Law & Order. He plays the psychiatrist on that show. He's just terrific. And he is also on The Closer, plays Assistant Police Chief Will Pope, and he's great on the TV series. He's one of my favorite actors. So I want to ask, I want to make sure a real Closer fan gets to go see this. I'm going to ask a little trivia question. If you're one of the first two people with the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067, you get a pair of tickets for tomorrow night's Evening with The Closer, thanks to the Museum of Television and Radio.
Ralph, are we sure that he's going to be there?
J.K. will be there.
Okay, good.
J.K. Simmons will indeed be
just
there.
Just checking.
All I need to know is, what does the J.K. stand for in J.K. Simmons? Call now, 1-800-520-1067, and you get to spend an evening with The Closer. And then tomorrow I'll be giving away tickets for Dexter, which is Wednesday night, and Kevin's already going to be going to that evening with
That's
Dexter.
That's the best show.
You get to hang out with Philip Michael Hall Thomas Anderson and the rest of the cast and crew of Dexter, so it should be great. Philip C. Hall.
No.
Thomas Dexter Howell.
You got
Michael
me.
C. Hall.
Michael
Tim
C. Hall.
Tim Hall.
I just know him as the dude from 6 Feet Under.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
He's awesome.
Today's entertainment news kicks off with a great list of the top five Hollywood catchphrases for 2006. Now that we're in 2007, they looked on the past year of the 2006. They came out. What are the biggest catchphrases that came out of movies from 2006?
Can we guess?
If you want to.
Just movies, not TV?
Just movies. These are just movies.
Just movies. Yeah. Here's my guess, and I only think about it because it's coming out tomorrow, and I'm so excited. Right. Very nice! Something like that?
Right movie, but not the right catchphrase.
High five!
High five!
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, great.
Number one.
That's coming out tomorrow.
2006's Hollywood catchphrases. Borat is available on DVD tomorrow. High five! And number two, also from Borat, sexy time! Number two. Number three was, I've still got Nazi bullets in my ass! Alan Arkin said that in the back of the VW bus.
Oh, that's right.
Well, that's certainly a catchphrase that swept the nation. Wow. I haven't heard it one time since I saw the movie.
I've still got Nazi bullets in my ass. Will someone please save these people from themselves? The line from the Queen, Tony Blair says, of the British people. And my favorite line from a movie from last year, which I could use so often on this particular radio show, it's what Meryl Streep says in The Devil Wears Prada when she goes, the details of your incompetence do not interest me. And it's an excellent line. So
that is all.
That is all.
We have an answer, Ralph, if you'd like, for your trivia question.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go to Brian in Pasadena. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Brian, you a fan of The Closer?
Not really.
All right, then.
My wife is.
Oh, I see. You're doing this for the wife.
Can I win the Dexter tickets instead?
Nope.
If you call back
Brian.
Tomorrow.
Sorry. What does J.K. stand for in J.K. Simmons?
Jonathan Kimball Simmons,
absolutely. Hold on. You get your tickets for your wife so you two can go see An Evening with The Closer tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks
or
a lot,
she can
guys.
Take some dude from work.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Somebody who really likes the show would appreciate it. No, not really. Could lie. He lies on the freaking air.
Yes, Ralph. It's my favorite. Thank
That's
you.
What I'm talking about. Edit that in. It'd be an insane. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Wild Hogs.
$38 million.
Number one by far.
Wow.
There are the hogs now. The work bean.
That's worth the sound effects. Bean is a sound effects genius.
Zodiac was number two with a little over $13 million. Can I think for Zodiac?
Yeah, for that bean.
I don't. Sorry. Right. You have like a Pisces or something?
I don't know.
How's that?
It's the all purpose.
Ghost Rider. Still bringing in big bucks, was third at the box office this week.
Hey, Ralph, can I buy just a second?
$5 million.
When did you stop laughing and just start shouting?
He's turning into Paul Schaefer.
What? That's not a laugh.
Anna gets something from deep within.
I know,
from
but
me.
That's
I'm
not
sorry.
A laugh. When did you stop laughing?
Shut up.
He's been shouting at us now for about 6 months.
Good for you, Spider. Good for you, Spider. Shut up. Psycho Mike just finally got us an assful. $8.5 million made Bridge to Terabithia, number four at the box office this weekend. Then the number 23 at number five, Norbit. Music and lyrics, Snake, Black Snake Moan, Reno 911 Miami, and Breach rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. And I got this information from the Exhibitor Relations Company. That's people who put together the estimates every weekend. Sony Pictures has announced they're going to open Spider-Man 3 in Tokyo, Japan on May 1st. 3 days before it opens here in the United States, Daily Variety says that Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, and James Franco will be at the premiere. And as I mentioned, J.K. Simmons plays J. Jonah Jameson in those movies. Apparently, part of the strategy behind releasing it early in Tokyo is that it might cut down on some of the bootlegging that goes on with those videos over there.
Yeah.
Mentioned that last hour. Made some people upset, I guess.
Word to the wise. Remember Pearl Harbor.
See, that kind of stuff that gets people upset.
That's sound effects guy. That's Bean.
Oh, man.
I'm not the one who attacked.
Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, back September, December 7th, 41.
Don't look at me.
Daily Variety says that Shaquille O'Neal will be having his own reality show for the summer. A primetime reality show for ABC.
ABC?
Wow. It's a big deal. It'll be a 6-episode show. It's currently shooting in Broward County, Florida.
Is this him being a cop?
That's what he's doing when he's not playing basketball. He's shooting a reality show. No. No, Bean, this is not him being a cop. This is Shaq's campaign to help Florida elementary and junior high school kids lose weight.
What?
Yeah, having Shaquille O'Neal teach you how to lose weight is kind of like having Lindsay Lohan teach you how not to drink at a nightclub, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
he's fought the poundage his whole career, hasn't
Yes, he?
He
has.
Seems a little odd to me. And you know those funny cavemen on the Geico commercials?
Yeah, they're funny. Sure. I like them.
Oh, those cavemen. They're out of control.
See, because people sometimes will call someone a Neanderthal, and they take it personally because they are Neanderthals.
So simply even a caveman could use it is what really
very
ticks
offensive.
Them off, because they're very smart, articulate men, these cavemen.
A little hairier than you might like.
Sure, and they have, you know, the protruding brow, and their teeth aren't so great, but still, they got a lot to offer.
They got dignity.
Well,
they got a TV show.
ABC is making a sitcom based on the cavemen from the Geico commercials.
Wait a minute. How is that interesting?
Apparently, it'll show them dealing with prejudice in modern-day Atlanta. Because, you know, that's where
against
the biggest
cave people.
That's where the biggest caveman population is down there in Atlanta.
Hey, you said it, not me.
Is ABC just putting anything on? You got the Shaq story, you got the cavemen story, it's all ABC.
You know what? We should save this tape, because what happens a year from now when it's the biggest hit on television.
And we're begging to have them
on. They're winning Emmys for quality of writing, and it's a groundbreaking original TV show idea.
We change our opinion, and we say, hey, we called it.
We flip-flop.
Yeah, that's what we always do.
Where's the TV show on the GoDaddy girl? That's the show I'm waiting for.
Yeah, that's called the porn section of your video show. And MTV reports that Jared Leto, lead singer for 30 Seconds to Mars, had a little trouble over the weekend. Apparently, he was jumping into a crowd while performing in El Paso, Texas, and he broke his nose.
What? Nice.
The show's producer said it was one of the scariest moments he's ever witnessed in live entertainment for over 25 years.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, he produces concerts.
Yeah, I guess there's not a lot that goes on. Tell Great Shark that, by the way.
What did he hit? Did he hit someone's head or something with his face?
I don't know what he came down on, but it was hard.
Oh.
Might have been Psycho Mike.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
I actually got him that time, guys.
Jared called it one of the best shows on the tour.
Because it was real, man. I bled. It's rock and roll. Pass the eyeliner.
So, hope Jared's feeling better real soon.
I hope so, too.
Of course you do, Psycho. Do you like getting hit in the balls by Kevin?
Yes, he does.
Jared, if you need somebody to nurse you into health, you know who to
call. You're the man.
You know who to call.
Oh, that's clearly gay.
Yes.
Today's celebrity birthday is Dean Stockwell. Speaking of talented character actors, this guy's been working since he's a little kid. He's 71 years old today, currently can be seen on Battlestar Galactica. Penn Jillette, comedian and magician, can be seen in Vegas right now if you want to see Penn and Teller, 52 years old today. John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 37 years old today. Nikki Taylor. Yeah. Model has had some rough times, but she looks great these days.
What was her
currently very healthy.
Deal? Car accident?
Car
is that what it was?
Yeah.
She was down for a couple of years, and then she
broke her pelvis
she looks fantastic,
and everything.
Yeah.
And she started modeling palm trees or something.
No, nope, different person.
That was Petra.
Petros? That's right.
Petros Papadakis?
Yes, I was modeling palm trees. Nikki's 32 years old today. Eva Mendes from Ghost Rider turns 33 years old today. And the Proclaimers.
Really?
We don't have the time for my Proclaimers
chart. We always have time for that.
Tune in the next hour when I will be singing 500 Miles by the Proclaimers. They're the twins, Charlie and Craig Reed. The Scottish twins are 45 years old today.
Bye, later.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tomorrow morning at about this time, we're going to be having breakfast with Korn.
Well, we're going to be beating on the microphones trying to get them to work so that we can bring you breakfast with Korn. That's usually how those things go. But yeah, 24 hours from right now, breakfast with Korn exclusively on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can listen to it on the radio if you're not lucky enough to have already won tickets to be there or you don't win them right now. Or you can watch it online. Go to krock.com, find out how to get hooked up with the AT&T Blue Room to see the entire thing in its entirety live as it happens tomorrow morning.
First time we've ever done that. And the way to win the tickets, this is the final pair of tickets, is...
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Mr. Announcer Man, I don't think I've asked you this before. Do you and Mrs. Announcer Man like the rock music? Is Korn a band that you'd be interested in seeing, for instance?
Oh, we can't get enough Korn.
Yeah?
And we love the Proclaimers.
Well, that's good news. That's
oh,
good news.
I would walk 500 miles.
Well, we're talking about breakfast with Korn, unplugged and acoustic, tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Announcer Man, what are we doing with the final pair of tickets here?
I'm sorry, who am I?
Mr. Announcer Man, please go ahead.
Well, it'll be easy. What we'll do is play for you the title of a Korn song. All you need to do is to identify it. Unfortunately for you, though, the titles will be backwards. However, if you're clever enough to name that Korn song, you'll be entered into a drawing, and the lucky winner will get the last pair of tickets for Breakfast with Korn and an autographed Korn guitar.
There you go.
Pretty sweet.
Fantastic. Right. Who do we have first?
Let's talk to Crystal. She's from Reseda. She's a travel agent. Oh, take me away.
Oh, I'll take you away.
Crystal, you ready? Here's your song title backwards. Here you
okay.
go.
Okay.
Yeah, love...
We can play it for you one more time. You want to hear it?
Yeah, one more time.
Fiala.
Song title, please.
Can I get a hint?
Yeah, it's a Korn song.
Yeah, and you just heard it backwards. Now give us the title.
Got the Life.
Well, now she's smart. What a lot of people don't do is pay attention to how many syllables there are and then kind of match it up with some song you know. That was a great guess.
Did I get it right?
Yes.
Freaking A.
That's not right.
That's why I'm screaming, wow!
All right, so Crystal is in the drawing. Lisa's keeping track, and somebody at the end among all of our winners will be there tomorrow with the breakfast. Who's next, Mr. Announcement?
Next up is Manuel from Huntington Park. He goes to high school. Good for Manuel.
Hey, Manuel, aren't you supposed to be in school right now? Okay, good. Are you ready for your Korn song?
Yeah.
Here you go. It's backwards.
Meow.
One more time?
Yeah.
All right.
Meow. Manuel's not missing anything, by the way. Nothing's sticking with him. Korn high school.
What's the name of the song? Korn song.
Here's where you tell us what the title of the song is, Manuel.
Can I hear it one more time?
Nope. No. It's like when you're in school and the teacher calls on you. You have to give us an answer.
Right now?
No, call back tomorrow. Blind.
Oh, blind is what we were looking for. All right. I was looking forward to hanging out with Manuel tomorrow. Too bad.
Next up is Travis. He's from LBC. Long Beach in the house. Yeah.
Travis, good morning.
What up, party people?
All right, you ready for your song backwards?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Sheila, no.
Oh, that sounds insulting.
That's kind of, I think that's kind of an easy one, right? Here you go, one more time.
Sheila, no.
Freak on a leash.
There you go, right, yeah.
Good freak job, Travis.
On a leash. A lot of times people don't pay attention to how many words it even sounds like. It's the shortest thing in the world. They'll guess a five-word song title. It doesn't make any sense, but Travis got it.
Let's talk to Joe from Glendora. He's in construction.
Hi, Joe.
How's it going?
All right, here's your song backwards. You ready?
Yep.
City is not.
One more time.
City. Yeah. No.
What's the name of that song?
Oh, man.
Korn song.
If you don't know, just go ahead and guess.
Pick a song by Korn.
Song by Korn.
But do it now. Otherwise, we'll bring Manuel back on the phone, and no one wants that.
Say
any title.
Oh.
What did he say?
Adidas.
Yeah.
You're right, Joe.
That was such a stab in the dark. That was such a guess.
That's why you guess, people.
Exactly.
Adidas.
Well done, Joe. That's good work right there.
The word backwards is Sadida, by the way.
Yeah, it's not the toughest one there is.
Oh, man. All right, who do we have?
Next up is Keith from North Hollywood. He works after school with children. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm Chris Hansen from Dayline NBC, and I got some questions for you, Keith. All right, listen up. Are you in the running for Breakfast with Korn? Here's your song title, backwards.
Murphy, walking it off.
One more time, Keith?
Yes.
Ian Murphy, what in your love?
Can you guys play one more time?
Nope.
No.
Two times, all you get.
Like everyone else who's already won.
Somebody, someone?
Falling away from me.
Oh.
Sorry. I think we have time for one more contestant, Mr. Announcer Man.
Let's talk to Karina. She's from Compton. She's studying criminology. What else do you study in Compton?
That's the way it's going to be. Hey, Karina.
Hi.
We apologize for Mr. Announcer Man. I hope you bust him for something down the road.
That makes sense.
All right, here you go. Here's your song backwards.
That beam him.
One more time.
That beam him.
Korn song.
Oh, Jesus.
Song by Korn.
Title of a Korn song.
See, they wrote a song, and then they said, hey, what do you want to call it? And then the other guy said, I'll call it, and then boom.
Make me bad.
That's what we're looking for. I'm sorry, Karina.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
Let's do one more. Come on, seriously. I don't want any of these people to come. Do you? Do you want any of these people to come to the breakfast?
I think it'll be fine.
Let's take one more.
All right.
One more.
Oh, this is going to be a mistake. I'm telling you. I do not feel good about Mallory.
Mallory from West Covina. She's a receptionist. She receives things.
Well, when you put it that way.
Hey, Mallory. Excellent.
What did I tell you? Are you there? What did I tell you?
Mallory.
What? Oh, she's there.
There she is.
Why take one call?
She's there, dude.
When you could take one call, too bad.
All right, here you go, Mallory. Here's your song backwards.
Sir, now, nah, swoosh.
One more time.
Sir, now, nah, swoosh.
Exactly.
Song by Korn.
Korn song.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, one more time.
Nope.
No, Mallory.
The band Korn sings a song called
Chutes and Ladders.
Excellent. Glad we went to that final.
Oh.
All right.
One more. Come on, one more.
We got.
Come on.
We got Chris.
One more.
We got Travis.
Gary.
We got
all right, one
Joe.
More.
Oh,
Gary.
Come on, you guys. We got three contestants.
Gary
in the
and Yorba Linda. He's a lifeguard. He saves lives.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
You got on, but for the grace of Announcer Man. Here you go.
I think Announcer Man. Thank you.
Here's your song backwards.
Hurts his nerf. It's a.
One more time.
Hurts his nerf. It's a.
I know this doesn't help you at all to hear me say this, but it's really easy. Sounds almost the same backwards as it does forwards.
I'm sure it does. Let's say somebody.
Don't let Mr. Announcer Man down, Gary.
Come on, Gary.
He did vouch for you.
Mr. Announcer Man, you're not going to be able to come to the breakfast now. I'm sorry.
Damn.
I'll take a spot.
For God's sakes, say a Korn song.
It's too late for that.
Twisted Transistor.
All right.
Oh, Gary.
Can we go back to what I was trying to say 2 minutes ago? Crystal,
yes.
Travis, and Joe, I'm just looking at the clock, Mr. Announcer Man. I'm sorry.
Look at this instead. I got your clock right here.
Are all in the running.
Oh, look, it's noon.
Mr. Announcer Man
and I. The big hand's pointing straight up, baby.
Mr. Announcer Man and I are trying to let people in, Bean. You're practicing exclusivity, and we do not appreciate that.
Who do you have for us, Lisa May?
I have Joe from Glendora.
We got a winner! Oh, Joe?
Nelly. Hello.
Congratulations, dude.
Congratulations to me. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Congratulations to me. Hell yeah. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Right on, man. And what do I do to get my ticket?
All right. Relax.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer.
Hold
man.
On.
Our man Omar is in the studio with us.
Heyo. What's happening?
He's the man of 1,000 voices. He used to run the board here in the studio, and then we switched him with Psycho Mike, who's now in the studio, because Psycho Mike can't edit worth a crap.
Right.
So we send Omar
in
there.
He does a lot better in here, right?
Yeah,
he's great. Yeah. He's really great. Yeah, we love him. So Omar is in the other studio, and that's where Ralph goes to do the various voices that he does. And Omar calls up to check the line to make sure it's all working and everything's, you know, ready to go. And we've been taping him recently.
Yeah.
So Omar, the man of 1,000 voices.
You don't seem surprised.
Yeah. No.
The first one is Al Gore. We're going to do an Al Gore bit.
And so wait, so let me make sure I understand. So Ralph, who's going to do the allegory bit, isn't in the studio yet. Omar calls just to get the phone line pumped and ready to make sure that we can hear it, and he does Al Gore?
And then Mike says, dude, what's it going to sound like? You got to do the impression, and we're rolling tape, and we're like,
I had no idea.
Because Omar tries to do voices, and it turns out he can't.
Right.
So here are a few of the checks that he's been doing over the past couple of weeks. This is Al Gore.
Good morning, Kevin Abbey.
Blah.
So that's his Al Gore. Well, that's good.
I hope he's going to fill in for Ralph when Ralph's on vacation now.
He does the Reverend Ted Haggard. We did him. Remember him? He's the evangelical preacher was against gay people and came out that male prostitute was saying he had sex and meth. This is his improv.
I am not gay. I am so hetero. Yeah.
That's his test there.
Very nice. Yeah.
That's the Reverend Ted Haggard. We did a Nicolas Cage bit where Ralph called in as Nick.
As a ghostwriter, right.
Because his skull was on fire, if you'll recall. So Omar is checking the sound effects with the voice level.
Check, 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 1, 2. I'm Nicolas Cage. Oh, shit, I'm on fire. Check, 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 1, 2, check, 1, 2. Check, check, check. Now I'm not on fire. Oh, I'm on fire.
He does sound exactly like Nicolas Cage.
He does, doesn't he?
It's uncanny.
Dead ringer, right?
Ralph, watch out, man.
So then he tests the Michael Jackson.
Oh, my God.
And he is Michael Jackson, by the way, but I don't know why he started it like this, but he did.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. This is Michael Jackson. Hey, hey, hoo! Jam on!
Come on. He's Michael,
not bad.
Right?
Not bad.
The man of a thousand voices.
So then we're going to do Paula Abdul, who said that she's never been drunk. And this is Omar's version of Paula Abdul.
Check, check, check. Hi, this is Paula Abdul. And I'm not drunk. Here's my bong sound effect. Oh, this is Paula Abdul. I've never drank, but I do a lot of drugs. This is Paula Abdul. Woo!
There it is. Dead ringer, right?
Oh, my God.
It's one thing to just do the voice spot on, and I give you credit for that, but the way you ad-lib in character, that's what's remarkable.
Yeah, dude. Those classes are paying off.
Al Gore came out on the Grammys, and he was fat, so we were going to do the fat Al Gore, and this is his test of that.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. I'm a big fat...
Okay. So that's Al Gore the second time. This morning we did the former Canadian Prime Minister, who says that we should be using alien technology to help with global warming. And this is his test of him. And you can see how he just lapses into other dialects perfectly.
Check, 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 check. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Just a voice. Just a voice. Hey, I'm Canadian. Eh?
There you go. That's it. How about that?
Come on with that.
Who wants to hear Omar do Ozzy?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Here's the pitch.
What a jerk.
Oh, sorry. Okay, here's his.
Sharon! That's all you get.
That's all there is.
Small doses, I think, are best.
Omar, unfortunately, is learning to talk like me.
Okay, but is it too high? Should I pitch it not that up?
Excellent.
Good.
Not that up.
And finally, what's this last clip that we have, Bean, of your cell phone?
Yeah, Omar is the man of a thousand voices, and here's a voice we haven't heard before. This is Omar Saturday night at Mike's house, Psycho Mike's house, watching the UFC pay-per-view, and he decides to drunk dial me.
Now, because who appreciates that more than you?
Right?
That's funny.
I'm in Las Vegas. I'm at the Chiefs house. My dad and I are watching. It's like 9:30 or something. Mm-hmm. We're watching Psych on the USA Network.
Were you both in your jammies by then?
Absolutely. Warm milk and cookies, right?
Laying on the pullout couch.
So my phone almost never rings, and certainly never rings at night.
Right.
And I hear the phone, and I think, oh my God, there's trouble at home or something like that. And I don't recognize the number, and I pick it up, and it's Omar. And I think you can tell the party was raging at Mike's house.
Hey, Bean. It's 9:00, and like everybody was all saying, like, call Bean, don't call Bean. But I was just like, damn, dude. He's like, call me, and I want to talk to Bean, dude. And they were like, no, Bean is the shit. And I'm like, Bean's the pussy. But you know what?
What?
I don't know. Alright, you know what, dude? This is Omar Khan, the man of a thousand voices, I guess. This is Omar Khan. See you in the car, bitch!
Ah!
Okay. Wow, that's a good message right there. You leave good messages.
I do.
That was only the first of three, by the way. He kept calling back, and I was smart enough to not answer the phone. But
we need to do a thing where people who have saved messages, I don't know how they can get them to us. If they could get it to us in email, that would be the best.
Yeah.
But people who've saved drunk dial messages,
that'd be awesome.
Because you know there are a lot of people who have them on their phone. I have like 10 of them on my phone.
From Omar?
No, not from Omar, actually. No, he didn't call me, unfortunately. I love the drunk dialers. But if there was a way to send it in through email or something, Lightning, do you know how they could do
that? Well, here's the deal. It's another reason for people to sign up for U-Mail, because the Armenian comedian will leave messages for me all the time.
Right.
If you have U-Mail, I can email them to Omar, and he can use them.
Oh, right, because you can leave them on your computer.
As WAV files, so umail.com.
Now, if somebody has a way of doing that, send them in. We would love to play them, because Omar, me, you know, drunk dialing's a bad idea. Yeah. And Omar, the man of a thousand voices, also a bit. So thank you. This past Friday night, we had Kevin and me night at the Ducks. And our window licker, Nick, was there.
God bless Nick. That's how you know you got a party, when Nick shows up.
He had tickets already, and he said, can I come by the party? I said, abso-damn-lutely.
No, that's not what he said at all, Kevin. What did he say?
I already have tickets. Can I come by the party?
Exactly.
And I said, abso-damn-lutely. Nick, good morning.
Hey, guys.
Then Nick dropped a bomb on us.
Yeah.
And we were not prepared for this kind of an announcement.
Nick, as you know, is our window licker friend who we fell deeply in love with when we found out about him. And he is a sign holder. He's a professional sign holder for a cell phone company, right? He's the guy with the sign who stands out in front of the shop that you drive by, right?
And the thing that we admired so much about him was that he accepted that job and he was super happy. He loved it. That was fine. He's all good.
He excelled at it. He made it the best he could.
And how rare is that these days where somebody is actually satisfied at their station
right.
of life? Most people are looking past the good that they've got in front of them to what's down the road. So Nick is backstage with us. You were in a little private party room with the Ducks fans before the game, which was tremendous fun on Friday night. And Nick says, he gets everybody at the table to be quiet. He says, I've got an announcement to make. Nick, am I telling the truth? This is how it happened, right?
Yeah, Nick, I've
got something I want to say.
I've never met an individual person who has more announcements. I've never had an announcement in my life, I don't think. You just sit down and go.
I like to announce when things are going on. I like to announce them.
Okay, but you know? I think what Kevin is saying is, why couldn't you just say, hey guys, and then go on and just say what you're saying? Why does everything have to stop and there has to be a spotlight?
I have an announcement!
I need the attention. I need the attention. I need the spotlight. I need to make it dramatic.
So Nick drops the bomb on us that he thinks he needs another job.
Oh no. Yeah.
I don't know that I want to be a sign holder anymore, Kevin and Bean. And we say, what's going on? And he tells us that if he's going to get the ladies, he needs to step up in the job department.
I need to be a man, you know? I need to grow up. I can't be sign-holding forever. Besides, if I stay too long, I'm going to start sucking at it.
But, Nick, you're 22 years old, right?
Wait a minute. You're gonna start sucking at sign-holding? It does seem like that's hard to screw up.
That's not
a job where you could atrophy, really. You just hold a sign.
Lately, I'm just not into it as much.
But, Nick, here's what I'm saying, and that's fine, and I don't have any problem with you doing something else, although I will tell you it's a little bit like Shaq turning his back on basketball.
Sure.
I mean, that's what you were born to do, but that's another subject. You're 23 years old. It's not like women that you meet are judging you like you're 40. It's not like you've turned this into a career. That's a fine job for somebody who's as young as you are.
I'm not into it anymore. Don't say those words.
Oh, you're hurting us.
By the way, you guys are blowing smoke up his keister. He does suck at sign holding.
How dare you?
I've watched him sign hold for Singular. And remember when we had him sign hold for our party with OK Go out there? He went on the wrong street corner than the one he was told to go to, and he was holding the sign in the wrong direction. And after 20 minutes of doing it, he just had the sign on the ground.
Nick,
I was just standing there bebopping.
Nick, I apologize for Mike. He's in a bad mood for some reason.
He's wrong.
You're the best.
So, Nick, what are you going to do now?
No idea. The future is wide open for me
so
right
I,
now.
So I invite him down to our seats because I figure there's got to be, you know, an empty seat down there someplace.
Uh-huh.
And so he comes down with us, and I try to get him to sit next to Alex, and she won't have it. Because Nick's really trying his best to get to Alex. I mean, he really, although you're not smooth, you don't say to a woman, I don't think you're the right girl for me, but I'd still like to bang you.
I'm not smooth, but I'm persistent. I keep trying.
Yeah.
Does that ever work, Lisa?
No.
You may not be Miss Right, but you're Miss Right Now.
No.
I mean, that's essentially what he's saying, right?
That's a country song. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
So he starts.
She's like the wind, you know. No man can catch her. No man can tame her.
Oh, men catch her and tame her, my friend.
Just not you.
So then Nick starts talking about how he needs to move out of his house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Get a different job.
All right.
Get his own car.
Okay.
Those are the three things that he needs to get.
And he starts talking about how he wants to be a security guard at a strip club. That's his.
That's your goal?
That's his
idea.
That's a great idea, by the way. You spend most of your time there anyway, right? And 99% of your money.
Really? I went to those and was, God, no. I'd be broke if that was the case.
Didn't he tell us he spent 90% of his money at a strip club?
I didn't hear that. I heard that from you.
Yesterday.
How much? What percentage?
I heard the 5 o'clock.
Okay. Alex says you told her that on your date, that you did spend most of your money in a strip club. Dude, it's okay. It's all right.
We're not judging you.
No, God, no.
All right. All right, dude. Easy.
How do you do go to strip clubs, though, during the week, right?
I go, like, every once in a while. I mean, you know.
So every Tuesday is what you're saying.
No, just every once in a while.
Nick, don't change the story.
Well, Nick, you don't seem like a bouncer type. I mean, we had a friend who ended up being a strip club bouncer because he was a big, stupid guy. But you just seem a little tiny for that.
Some construction worker had too much to drink, starts mouthing off or touching or whatever. What are you going to do? Hey!
I'm going to go and defend the girl's honor.
You need to stop that. Don't do that anymore. So then he starts hitting on Alex again. I need to have sex with you. I need to have sex with you. I need to have sex with you. And so then we start.
I got away that night.
You what?
I think I got carried away that night. I was like, on the car at home, I was like, wearing, like, gee, did I, like, get carried
away? Yeah, Nick, the problem was all the pot you smoked before you came in, I think.
That's true.
I sat out of the car and smoked a lot of pot before I came in.
Oh, Nick.
So then he starts talking about wanting to have sex with Alex. And so we start making up all the people that Alex has had sex with. Everybody at work has had sex with Alex. Mm-hmm. And we're lying to Nick, but he's buying every single word of it. And I say, oh, yeah, I've had.
That is high. Of course I'm going to buy it.
And I say, yeah, I've had sex with her. And he's like, I thought you were married. I was like, yeah, but, you know, that's how you get a job here at K-Rock. Dean has, Lisa has, everybody. He's like, you've got to be kidding me. So then he starts talking about his brother, and who brought up the fact that his brother is
kind of a cool dude? I went to his party, and you meet Nick's brother, and he's the perfect type of guy for Alex. He's hairy, kind of like a rugged dude who's like a drifter. And I was thinking how opposite he is of Nick, but how perfect he would be for Alex.
Oh.
So that set Nick off, and I don't know if you remember this or not, Nick, but you were yelling in the crowd at the Ducks game, don't have sex with my brother! Don't sleep with my brother! And you wouldn't shut up. What?
That would be traumatic for me.
I know, but you understand that we're at an event where there's a crowd of people and you're yelling at Alex, don't sleep with my brother! It's a little...
I probably got carried away that night.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the weed talking, wasn't it, Nick?
Yeah.
Well, Nick, it was fun hanging out with you.
I love you guys anyway, even in spite of me being the man I can't help but be.
Oh, dude, that's why we love you.
In spite of me being the man I can't help but be. That's well said. That's a way to accept the cards that have been dealt to you.
All right, you're the best, man. Take care.
I am. All right,
later, guys. Alex wants your brother's name number. Is that all right?
No, God, no.
Ralph is here with the show. This beat. Ralph, what's going on?
I'm moving to England.
Okay.
Congratulations. Why? For, many reasons. I mean, I love British women. I think smoking hot chicks with the accent just drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I love their pub culture.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I love the theater scene, the West End.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But mostly for the tabloids.
Oh, yeah.
Their tabloids are much better than ours.
Yeah, they rule.
They're creative, they're interesting, they're fascinating. You want the world to be the way they describe it, even when they lie.
Yep.
Is it because they have different standards of libel over there? They can get away with saying more? Is that what it is?
Perhaps that is. But they also focus on other things. Usually, you know, here it's bulimia, you know, and rehab and stuff. Mm-hmm. But they come up with wild stories about people. They're just obviously fake and just so much more entertaining. I'm going to do an all-British version of the Showbiz Beat this morning because there's so many great stories coming out this morning.
Okay.
Reports have emerged from the UK in the Daily Telegraph and News of the World that Britney Spears, while in rehab, has scrawled the devil's number 666 across her head. Then started screaming to workers at promises that she was the Antichrist. I am the Antichrist, she screamed to a terrified staff. After she had written the number of the beast on her head, she ran around, grabbed a bed sheet inside her room, and tried to hang herself.
What? Oh, my God.
She said, this is all for you, Damien. It's all for you, Damien. Apparently, they got in just in time before she could hurt herself and cut her down from the ceiling fan or wherever she was hanging herself.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Well, I mean, if it's true, how did they get it?
Of course it's not true. It's madness, but it's a great story. Reads better than any nonfiction book you could find on the stands.
That's
today.
True.
It's way better than, oh, look, she got a tattoo at her wrist, yeah, which is what we get.
Oh, she beat up a car with an umbrella. We know the truth. That's not entertaining at all. Actress Sienna Miller, also in the UK tabloids today. Apparently, she's outraging anti-drug campaigners because she said, and I quote this from the Daily Telegraph, "Illegal drugs are loads of fun." Miller, 25 years old, who was dating Jude Law for a short time, says she loves hallucinogenic experiences and says that mushrooms are her drug of choice.
Well, all right.
That's a date right there.
That isn't good for you.
Can I put a few mushrooms on your salad there, Sienna Miller? Please enjoy. And it looks like Paul McCartney has won an early victory against his estranged wife, Heather Mills.
Excellent.
Last week, they were in court for the first of what promises to be many, many sessions during this divorce. But I hadn't heard the details until today. Again, this comes from the British tabloids. Apparently, she had this whole dossier of attacks against McCartney.
Right.
Claiming that he physically abused her, made fun of her disability. Well, really, come on, it's pretty funny.
It is funny.
But apparently his people and Paul himself just dissected every claim that she had in that dossier. They started off the event by going through it line by line and showing how it just these things were not the case. Made her so furious that she started to scream in anger inside the courtroom.
Fantastic.
When they called her a fantasist, making up all this stuff. Then, as if that wasn't bad enough for her, they turned the tables and they started to produce article after article after interview where she lied. Lied, lied, lied.
Really?
Painting her to be a complete liar. And also countered every point that she had, including bringing up the fact that she posed nude for that German book where all the sex pictures had taken
place. Right.
And bringing up her former career as a prostitute.
So Ooh. She knew it wasn't going to be an easy divorce trial.
Yeah, but she thought that the stuff that she was
saying
claiming that
stick,
he
right?
had done would just be taken at face value,
right.
But obviously his legal team is loaded for bear and ready to take her to the mat. So,
how will she be received tonight on Dancing with the Stars? Because I think people hate her.
Yes.
Are they going to give her a warm welcome on the show, or are we going to
sure
be rooting against her?
They will prep the audience to be a typical television audience
sure.
and make sure that it just sounds like real TV.
Right.
And I heard tonight she's singing her first song she's going to be dancing to, rather, is Come On, Eileen. Because she's got only the one leg, so she tends to drift to the side. She won't be standing fully erect, is what I'm trying to say.
I don't
Due to her disability, she will be favoring one direction more than another.
I don't get it.
Not getting it.
No. I'm sorry.
And I hate to do real news, but occasionally I have to. This is pretty tragic. There was a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan who was in New Zealand camping out for tickets to buy tickets for an RHCP concert.
Right.
18-year-old who was sleeping in a car park, a parking lot, waiting for the ticket outlet to open. And he was sleeping on the asphalt there, and someone did not see him.
Oh.
And drove over him and killed him in the parking lot.
So that happened.
Make things worse, the car that hit him drove off after the incident. It was about 3:30 in the morning. They just took off. Psycho Mike. And as you can imagine, Red Hot Chili Peppers are upset about the whole thing. And the band's hearts and prayers are with the family at this time, said a representative for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So,
dude, that sucks.
Let that be a lesson to you. If you're going to sleep out for tickets or something like that, pick a safe place. Don't just sleep out in the middle of the driveway where someone could hit you if they don't see you.
Thanks for bringing us down, Ralph. We were having a lot of fun with the mushrooms and the one-legged chick and everything, and then you got to end on a downer.
Just saying.
Did John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers have a comment?
No, he did not.
Really?
Not.
Because
nope.
Not on this case,
not
no.
available for comment.
It's interesting because it seems like he's been at your fingertips all morning long.
Well, I guess he ran out of things to say. Imagine that.
Being his birthday and all.
Today's celebrity... No. Before that, I got the top 10 movies at the box office. Let's get to those. These are the numbers care of the Exhibitor Relations Company. Those are the people who put the numbers together. And Wild Hogs, number one at the box office this weekend. $38 million
wow.
were made by people who thought it looked funny to see Tim Allen go oh, on a motorcycle.
Omar is over the moon that his hero has another number one movie.
It's nuts. Zodiac, the movie I was most looking forward to seeing this weekend, didn't do nearly as well, but it was good enough to be number two, $13 million in its debut weekend. Ghost Rider was number three, then Bridge to Terabithia. Still don't know what that is. But it was fourth at the box office this weekend, making $8.5 million. The number 23 was fifth. Then Norbit, Music and Lyrics, Black Snake Moan in its debut came in at number 8 with only about $4 million in ticket sales. Reno 911 Miami and Breach rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dean Stockwell. Brilliant character actor. He was in Blue Velvet, the David Lynch movie, which is just honked up beyond honked up. Quantum Leap, of course, for many years. Now Battlestar Galactica, 71 years old today. Penn Jillette of Penn & Teller is 52 years old today. John Frusciante, we're just talking about the Red Hot Chili Peppers, he's 37 years old today. Nikki Taylor, model, is 32 years old. Eva Mendez from Ghost Rider turns 33. And Craig and Charlie Reed, the Proclaimers. You may remember them for their hit song. And hey, we do it. 500 miles.
It is one of the most inexplicable number one hits of all time.
And I hear her. Well, you know I'm gonna be. I'm gonna be here and it's heaven for you.
Kevin brought up a good point earlier. Why couldn't they just walk 1,000 miles? Why do they have to walk 500 and then walk 500 more?
Because it's exhausting and you have to stop. You get a bite to eat, something to drink, get dry socks on, and then you keep walking.
It's a poorly written song at best.
Yeah. I'm not a violent man.
Right.
And I consider myself to be a pretty good drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But the only time I really acted up, a la Omar or Dave the King of Mexico in a public place, was at a karaoke bar when two guys were singing that, and I pelted them with a basket of Chex Mix in a drunken fury.
You did the right thing.
Because I hated it so much.
You did the right thing.
And if you're listening, guys, you know who you are, and I apologize.
That was messed up.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, we all know how that ends. Seriously. I mean, really? Wow. Is that a surprise? Did we miss anything? No. Okay.
You're in a hurry.
9:14, Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock.
What's the date today, by the way?
It would be the 2nd of... No, I'm sorry. It's
the 5th.
5th, yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure we put this one on the calendar because this is going to be... People who are listening right now, this is going to be like being in the audience at the Cavern Club when the Beatles did their first concert. You know, I mean, this is like being in Bono's living room when U2 makes their first practice. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you are about to be introduced to the wonderful music of Samwell.
Oh.
Good morning, Samwell.
Good morning.
We understand that this is your first radio interview. Is that true, sir?
Yes, it is.
We will try to be very gentle.
Please, because remember, I'm delicate like a flower.
You certainly, yes, you certainly are.
I hear that in the lyrics, yes.
Kevin, explain how you grew to fell in love with Samwell before we spoke with him here.
I think Dave, the King of Mexico, is the one that discovered the video on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you have to watch this right now.
Can we play a little bit of it?
Yeah.
So for folks who haven't maybe seen or heard it, and then we can talk to Samwell about the magic behind it.
What in the butt? I said, what in the butt? You want to do it in my butt? In my butt? You want to do it in my butt? In my butt? You want to do it in my butt?
Yeah, you get the idea. And it goes on like that for about 3 minutes.
But you have to see the video.
Well, we'll talk about the video because we all have favorite parts of the video. Samwell, where did what in the butt come from? What's the story here?
Okay, the story is it came from my warped little mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was just singing a song one day, and it started out, what in the butt? I said, what in the
butt? But why do you think that started? Just because it rhymed? What in butt? I mean,
you know what? That probably was initially it, and then a friend of mine who actually produced the single heard it. He says, "What is this?" He's like, "I've got to." He said, "I've got to record this," and I said, "Whatever, you nut." And
you called him a nut. That's how far you went. You were willing to put your friendship on the line and call him a nut.
You know, a lot of relationships don't come back from that kind of trash talking. Samwell, what was your, before you came up with the magic of what in the butt, are you a singer, an actor? What's your background?
Well, I actually went to school in North Carolina, and I studied history first,
mm-hmm.
but I realized I would have to either be a school teacher or a politician, and I'm like, okay, no.
Okay.
And then I went back to school and studied dance and acting.
All right.
And I really wanted to get into that, and then I moved to Chicago. And so it kind of got put on hold, you know, I guess, quote-unquote, growing up or whatever,
right.
Finding my way. And so, and it wasn't until I met my producer about 3 years ago that it just kind of started up again.
And then you started taking it kind of seriously and started thinking, hey, how can I actually record some music and get on the path to the career that I want?
Exactly.
Now, isn't YouTube a fantastic thing that a guy, an unknown like you from Chicago, can put something up on the internet and millions of people can enjoy it around the world?
It was insane. When we put it up, because I recorded a video way back in November.
Right.
And I was trying to put it up in, like, January, and, you know, we were having some, you know, delays. And so we said, okay, the next day it's going to be, you know, February 14th, because nothing says I love you like what would. Anyway.
Sure.
We just really, and the producer of the video just said, we thought a needle in the haystack, maybe a few thousand in maybe like a month or so. Right. And within like a week, it was like almost a half a million. I was like, okay.
I got to tell you, I think the reason is because people have never witnessed a more gay video in their entire lives, I'm guessing. Because that's what drew us to it originally.
Okay.
We were fascinated by that.
And so people just started sending it to their friends, and the next thing you know, you got a worldwide sensation. Now, is there a record? I mean, I see on your MySpace page that people can listen to the song, What Would in the Butt, some of your other songs we'll mention in a moment, but is there, can people buy it somewhere?
Yes, you can actually go on. We have a teaser CD, which are three songs. We're going to be featured on the CD called The Experience That Is, which is going to come out in the summer of 07. We don't have the date settled out yet, but... Okay. It's coming out in summer of 07.
Well, I hope that Shoes Are On Fire is on that disc.
Yes, it is.
Shoes Are On Fire. What about Knees Got Dirty?
No, that's going to be actually on the CD.
That's going to be on the full length.
Yes.
I got you. Hey, speaking of full length, what was your, when you went to make this video, I mean, what was your vision? What were you trying to do with the video? Were you just trying to make it funny? Were you kind of poking fun at yourself? What's the magic behind it?
Because, I mean, you know, people take things so serious. They take, you know, sex so seriously. I mean, it is serious, but it's not. You know, it's like, okay, guys. So I said, you know what? I figured the best way was to, because when you can make fun of yourself,
right,
like, and have a good time, mm-hmm, generally everybody else is like, well, then it's okay. It's funny, because it's like it's funny, but yet it's not.
What's the cross that's on fire at the beginning? What's that about?
Okay, let me see. I've got this question about 10,000 times.
Yeah.
And it was not a, because some people think, okay, you're burning a cross. I said, it's not a cross. It's a flaming symbol. I just happen to use that symbol.
You know, that could be, that's dangerous territory for some people, though. You know, they have a different association of a cross on fire.
And of course they do. But did you check the video? I'm black, so, you know, and I'm from the South. So burning cross is not a good thing for me.
Yeah, I understand.
So the chocolate heart that's throbbing with the glossy lips and the mouth in the middle of it. What's that about?
Listen, you know people are very oral, so yeah. I figured... If you get them there, they're going to look. They're like, it's either in fascination or whatever, but they're still going to look, and they're going to pay attention.
Yeah. This Samwell video, by the way, that we're talking about, you can see. It's linked from the Kevin Bean front page of KROQ.com if you want to see the magic of what in the butt. Now, Psycho Mike, tell Samwell about the pants your wife is making for you right now.
Samwell, my wife is making me a pair of pants similar to yours in the video that are bedazzled with the words what on each butt cheek. Is that okay with you that I want to emulate you like that?
Sure, man. Go for it. if you're strong enough in yourself to go out there and wear those pants, I say, by all means, do it, man. Do it.
He's actually very confused, actually, so I think this may tip him.
Thanks a lot, Samwell. I appreciate it, and I want to let you know that I'll do them well. I have a very ripe, muscular rear end, and I really appreciate you giving me your okay.
That's important because, you know, if you don't have I don't know, can I say that A word on the air?
Is it ass?
Yeah.
Sure.
If you don't have the right ass, don't wear it, honey, because, this won't look good.
That's good advice. Yeah. Good advice from Samwell right there. Yeah. Is it true in our remaining moments here, Samwell, that you are going to be in a movie with Dustin Diamond, an actual legitimate real-life movie that's coming out?
Yes, I am. It is by the makers of who did the video, Brown Marks Films. We're going to be in a movie called Hamlet ADD. I just did like a guest starring appearance.
I see.
As a communications artist. And yes, it is coming out in the summer of 07. So yes, that is true. That is happening.
In your wildest dreams, where do you see yourself ending up in this Hollywood career?
In my wildest dreams, I want to have a record deal. Nice.
You what? You want to have a record deal?
I do not. No.
That's what you're hoping for. You're hoping to have a record deal and be a concert performer and be out on the road and be in movies and just do it all. You want to be the next Beyonce?
No, I want to be the gay version of Madonna. Get it straight.
Gay version of Madonna. Okay.
Gay version of Madonna.
Fantastic. All right, then. Well, it's the best 3 minutes you'll spend all week if you check out the video for What in the Butt. I mean, it's magic.
Are you getting a lot of requests for the What in the Butt karaoke MP3 download?
You know what? I think it's after today. I'm probably sure I will.
Okay.
But because I think a lot of people don't, you know, they're like, because I think a lot of people were thinking, is this real?
Right.
You know, is this a real entity? Yes, it is. I'm speaking to you on the air. It is real.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out because on YouTube, you never know.
That's right. I mean, a lot of actors play characters.
And yeah, it was. There was a level of,
anonymity that I was trying to have, but I guess that's pretty much out the door right now.
Yeah. Dude, when you have what on one cheek and what on the other cheek,
you give up your anonymity.
You get noticed.
That's a way of saying, hey, world, check me out, right. Is what that is. All right, you can see the video through the Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com. You can check out Samwell on the MySpace. It's Samwell or SamwellMusic.com. I'm very pleased that we got to be your first radio interview, Samwell. I hope we get to do it again soon.
I sincerely hope so, too. It was my pleasure.
Right, now, when you're a big star, you're going to come back on our program, right?
Oh, for sure.
All right.
For sure. And one more thing.
Yes.
Because in the meantime, my next video that I want to put out is Shoes on Fire.
Shoes on Fire, okay.
Some quick comedic skits just in the meantime because I got to work out getting the video made. And, you know, so the skit should be out probably April.
So you're putting comedy skits online now.
Oh, yeah.
In place of a video for Shoes on Fire.
No. This is in addition to.
Okay, in addition to. Okay.
Right. Well, I got to give the people tidbits. You know, I got to throw that out for them.
He does it all.
I love the fact that you're doing these videos. You're like the new R. Kelly, except without peeing on the girls.
Okay.
All right, Sam. Well, thank you, man. You go, girl.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Bye.
You disgusted him, Bean.
I'm sorry.
You disgusted him.
I'm sorry.
Would you say you're over the moon with your glasses tight with that choice? Would you say you're 100% happy with it?
Are you super excited about your glasses?
I accept your score. I have earned it. Look, I lost my regular glasses, so I had to buy like some cheapo temporaries at the Walgreens, and this is what
they're
look like.
This was bright... from the Ted Bundy collection.
This is all they had, dude.
They're like the bright gold rims that old people wear.
Serial killers and pilots are the only two guys who wear those kind of glasses.
Congratulations,
serial killing pilots.
To Frank Broad from Northridge, who is going to go see Incubus at the Greek all this week on the world famous K Rock. We're giving away tickets to sold out shows, including Muse, My Chemical Romance, The Killers, and yeah. Incubus. That's all this week, so keep listening for a chance to call in.
If you start painting clowns, I'm quitting. Because I don't think you're safe to be around.
I needed a temporary fix for my glasses.
Well, that's what Bundy used to say.
What else?
I felt better after I killed and raped him.
What else
you
should I have done
after that?
You need a different temporary fix, whatever it is. I don't even care. Just something different.
All right.
All right. Kevin Beans, what to do, nephew? 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Ton of prizes today. Check this out, guys. We got a pair of passes to the K-Rock premiere screening of Shooter this Thursday night in Westwood. You guys have seen the trailers for that. That's Mark Wahlberg.
Right?
He gets thrown out of the military, and then they press him back into service, and he gets double-crossed, and he gets shot at.
That's great.
Looks really cool, yeah. Plus, $25 Pizza Hut gift card and a pair of tickets to see the Los Angeles Kings take on the Chicago Blackhawks. That'll be Thursday, March 15th at Staples Center. So way too many prizes. I think we have to be extra tough. None of these BS calls that have been getting through the last couple of weeks today, all right?
Like we could be picky.
James and Irvine, good morning.
What do you do, nephew?
What do you do, nephew?
Hey, baby boo.
Hey, James.
Saturday, I was at Costco, and I saw Tito Ortiz and Jenna Jameson together.
No kidding. As a couple?
Well, they've been a couple for a long time,
as a couple, and they were actually making out down one of the aisles, and they had their little entourage with them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just smoking hot.
Bean, where's the picture from that we were just looking at her?
Oh.
She looks like she's way too skinny.
Yeah, Lister sent some pictures.
Super thin.
She's
very tiny.
And she's lost a great... It was a red carpet premiere. She's showing up at a movie or something. But she looks like she's lost a ton of weight and looks like she's had some plastic surgery on her face, which nobody needed plastic surgery or to lose weight less than Jenna Jameson. Yeah. She was perfect the way she was.
She's got the duck lips now, the pumped-up silicone lips, and she's had some eye work done, I think. Just not looking good.
No. How did she look?
I mean, looking okay, but not as good as she used to look.
Yeah, she was gorgeous. How did she look in person, James?
You know, the face was a little, you know, not great, but the body, she is skinny, though.
She's too skinny, yeah.
The boobs and the small little butt.
Did you do what any man would have done and walk up and step right in front of Tito and try to hit on her?
I was afraid to get my butt kicked. Yeah. You know, but there was a ton of
pussy.
People getting their pictures. Yeah, I am. There was a lot of people getting their pictures taken with him.
You know, of course.
You homos. Exactly.
She said, come here, woman. Show what a real man is like. Just Mr. T'd his ass.
Well, that is the very definition of a great celebrity sighting right there. That's awesome.
All right, let's go.
Does he get the prize, Bean? Does he pass your little test to get the prize?
He was terrific. I'm glad to give the prizes to Jay.
You're the gatekeeper that lets all the bad calls on, by
exactly.
the way.
Not last week. Last week, they were fast and furious.
Eddie and Van Nuys, good morning.
Well, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, well, what to do with that biggest and tallest loser, Tim Sylvia, getting knocked out by Randy Couture?
Yeah.
Mike, you watched the fight. What was the deal?
Worked him. Awesome. This guy's 43 years old coming out of retirement and just worked the 13, 14-year younger Tim Sylvia, who's like 6'9".
Yep. How did he do it?
I heard hand speed.
It was just, he beat him at his own game. You know, Tim Sylvia is a stand-up guy. They thought the Couture, who's much better on the ground at grappling and wrestling, would try to take him down. And he just stood him up the whole time and just worked him. He was much more prepared, much more energetic, and he just took him out.
Was Omar completely drunk by that point?
Omar was screaming at the screen, but it was totally unintelligible. He was just saying,
you guys, a forget winner!
Thanks for the call.
Mike, how do you, as a former drinker, tolerate that behavior by a screaming, sloppy drunk?
Well,
I couldn't do it.
Hanging around a guy like Omar when he's hammered, a guy like Omar and hanging out with Dave at the same time, it just reinforces my positive feelings about myself and how I don't ever want to return to that.
It's aversion therapy for you,
right,
I'm sure.
Right.
Don't they get on your nerves?
No, I don't get that like kind of euphoric recall to my younger days. I look at that and I go, I'm glad I don't ever...
I hate being around drunks when I'm sober. When I'm not drinking, I hate being around drunk people.
Dave fell asleep early, so I checked him off the list.
That helps.
Only Dave falls asleep at a viewing party for a UFC fight.
Did he fall asleep while texting?
No. Okay. It was just one out of the blue. He was hammered, having a good time. Next thing you know, we heard snoring.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of hammered Dave.
It was after the fight.
Dave, somebody needs to bring this up. And Ralph, you took the brunt of it because you were sitting closest to him. 90 minutes of Dave at the Ducks game talking about how water polo is the most difficult sport in the world to play.
What?
Dave drunk, insisting that water polo is the most difficult sport in the world to play.
And it wasn't just like
it is difficult.
It wasn't just a throwaway. It wasn't just a mention. He would not shut up about water polo.
But Psycho was saying, well, how about any combat sport like UFC or boxing? I mean, that's much harder. No way, man. Water polo is the hardest. That is the hardest sport of all sports to play. It's the hardest. Shut up! This is during the game. During the Ducks game, he's screaming about
even
this.
Even if he's right, you don't want to hear about it for 90 minutes.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
It was three periods of hockey with the water polo.
It was nonstop.
And I'm sitting next to Hammerhead the intern, who was drunk off his ass next to me, spilling beer on me and trying to hit on teenagers.
You want me to go hit on that girl?
Pick any girl. I hit on her. Take her home.
God. Comes back.
She's 15.
It's a nightmare.
Aaron in Long Beach. Good morning.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, Aaron.
Oh, my God. I saw the best hockey game ever.
Okay.
I went to an Ice Dogs game this weekend, and William Hung sung all the songs during it.
William Hung?
That's what made it the best game?
It was painful.
Or was it the best game that it was only players who weren't good enough to make the NHL?
Oh, that's cold.
What?
$10, all the booze you can drink in William Hung. Come on.
What did William Hung sing?
He sung Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, that's nice. Great.
Oh, yes.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
4-year-old and he had his fingers in his ears the whole time.
I have a little tape of William Hung from the Ice Dogs game. Here we go.
William Hung, take it away, buddy.
I've been there to see this.
Is enough for this white-eyed wanderer that we got this far?
A little disappointed, by the way, Ralph, and maybe you are too, that American Idol has not produced as another magical singer like William Hung.
That's why he's still performing today. That's why he's still working, because he is a unique talent.
Aaron, did you say he was dancing as well?
Oh yeah, he did this like the stripper shake thing where you lean back and you shake your boobs.
Oh no,
doing the shimmy,
William Hung.
Wow,
would make me want to throw up.
Thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Okay. I would like him and John Frusciante to do a duet. That's what I want to work for.
Jason in Simi Valley. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
I don't think William Hung should sing any song that has the words wide-eyed wonder in it.
That's true. That's good advice.
Good point.
Well, my thing was, I was getting a haircut, and I was going into your typical $12 place, which is always a gamble, so it's kind of important who you select.
Right.
The Mexican guy cutting hair, giving everybody buzz cuts, and then there's this like kind of weird guy with a beanie hat on and really slow-moving, so I thought he was an eccentric gay guy, so that was the best choice.
Okay.
Yeah. So I sit down and get my haircut. About halfway through it, I'm recognizing he's not doing such a good job. Then out of the blue, he goes, do you know who I am?
Oh, no.
I go, who? He goes, I'm the Armenian comedian.
Oh, you were getting your hair cut by Sam.
So then the whole time, he just starts going on and on about how he's this big celebrity, how K-Rock, how he knows everybody there. He keeps going on. It gets annoying after a while. So finally, I throw out, like, well, I've met Kevin like four times at his holiday Christmas event. It's a charity event. And he's like, really? Where is that? And I go, you know where Kevin lives. And I
he's Borat? I didn't realize he was Borat.
Yeah. Well, that's my best impression I can do.
Yeah. Sexy time with
Kevin. It's a nice haircut.
By the way, how sad is it that Sam, to this day, every single person that sits down in his chair, he says, "Do you know who I am?" And then whether they do or not, or whether they want to or not, he goes on for the rest of the haircut about how he's a big star.
What's kind of creepy, too, is he was working at Fantastic Sam's, and I think it's probably out of some weird delusional thing where he thinks it's his place.
Well, according to Lightning, he's been pretty much fired from every haircutting place in the San Fernando Valley, so now he's working. That was in Simi, right?
Yep, Simi Valley, Fantastic Sam's.
That's why he was working
moving
up there.
Up the coast.
Yes, exactly.
He'll be in Ventura by this time next year.
You know, guys, I have a great idea. Lightning's wife owns a hair salon.
Mm-hmm.
We should force the Armenian community on that place. Make him hire him.
Oh, that's just cool.
Right?
That's just awesome.
Make him hire him.
And he could perform in between cuts.
Yes, he could cut hair, do a song, cut hair, do a song.
Bring out the dummy. You
know, teenagers stop spraying those bullets on each other.
Yes.
Are you kidding?
No.
Fantastic. That's a great idea. Thank you, Jason.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Don't play with the guns. Stop playing with the guns.
Yeah.
Spray the bullets on each other.
All right. Who's next for a haircut?
I don't know. A friend of mine said that she's on some sort of list with the Comedy Store or something. They call her periodically to tell her who the lineup
right.
is. And she got a phone call from the Armenian comedian the other day.
Oh, that's the
worst. Random phone call. And now he's billing himself, I kid you not, as the Armenian Borat.
Oh, no. Really?
Yes. Trying to hitch his sidecar to the Borat fame.
Yeah, he thinks Borat ripped him off, by the way. Because he's the Armenian comedian.
Mm. Maybe time to tape one of his stand-up performances again. It's been a long time.
Why don't we have him in? Have him do a little
It's better when he's at the club. Trust me. As someone who's gone down there and seen it, it's better when you get the audience reaction.
Jason, how was the haircut? That's the last thing we didn't get a beat on.
Honestly, it wasn't the worst haircut ever, but I wouldn't go back and get it again. If out of a 10, it was probably like a 4.
Yeah, okay. You got lucky, by the way.
The price is too high. You have to listen to him talk.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you for the call. By the way.
I grabbed the scissors out of his hands and plunged it into my heart. He was cutting my hair, and I had to listen to him talk.
I'm the best hair comedian teller, and I can't say these jokes on the air, but I would have said better jokes than you have never heard from me yet.
One of the best group of what-to-do-nephew calls we've ever had.
That was pretty good, right?
Very strong. Tremendous calls. And I want to thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, the great Semwell. Go to semwellmusic.com or see his What in the Butt video on the front page of Kevin and Bean section of krock.com.
Yeah. Tomorrow we have a lot of stuff. None of it's going to be any good except for our breakfast with corn. That's tomorrow morning. So make sure and tune in.
We don't really put that much work into a breakfast because really people just want to hear corn, right?
That's true, yeah.
So the rest is just filler.
Yeah, exactly.
My face is up front, the curtain, and the curtain behind me. That's who I am.
By the way, for the first time, we're putting it up online, too. You can actually watch the breakfast. We've never done this before. Go to krock.com and you can figure out how to do it.
Maybe I'm not that funny, but I'm funny.
Seriously. Well, seriously, Lightning would be his boss.
Yeah.
Oh,
how great is that? He would have to deal with, like, he's late, he's not there.
Coming all smoked out.
Yes.
Just totally stoned.
Awesome.
Lightning's just, ears.
Guys, he's just done. He's just hanging on the way it is now, Lightning.
Done.
You don't want to put him over the edge.
Let's see what happens. It's a fascinating experiment.
When people are teetering, you do want to give them a shove every once in a while.
One sportsman said to the other sportsman, when we going to start biting females back like Merv Albert?
Come on.
Merv.
Couple of cuts, couple of jokes.
Come on, really?
A couple songs? A little ventriloquism?
Sure, he's got that.
I am ventriloquist. This is my dummy.
I can see your lips moving, Sam.
You know why the Armenians like pajama parties?
Why?
Because they don't have to take off too much.
I don't...
You need to go to Dr. Good College to understand all of you, you stupid heads.
Wow.
Okay. I love when he gets angry.
Come on.
All right. It's 9:58 on KRQFM passing in Los Angeles. Kat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop music, including Muse, Alice in Chains, Incubus, Sublime, My Chem, so much more right after this on good old K-Rock.